Hey, everybody, advertiser-free episode of just the nonstop stream of goodness. We have Benny Johnson. We have producer Andrew. We have producer Connor running all over the place. We have Rick Grinnell. We have basically the kitchen sink as we talk about California, Larry Elder, and everything that's going on. And it's no advertisers this whole episode, so you guys can listen to some insight into what's happening in California in real time. We wanted to post it here on this podcast feed. If you want to support us, it's charliekirk.com/support. If you're inspired by our late night coverage, if you're inspired by how hard we work, just help us out, charliekirk.com/support. Become a member of the team. Enjoy the most in-depth, exclusive, and accurate, conservative California coverage. Larry Elder, Gavin Newsom. The stakes are high. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our war room. Look at this set. I mean, come on. We have Benny Johnson. We have producer Andrew, who is our token Californian. We have Austin, who's the head of director of operations. He'll say his title, wonderful title, Turning Point Action, the heart, brain, and soul of that operation over here. And we have Los Angeles, California behind you for the exclusive grassroots responsive war room for what's happening in California. Go Larry Elder, go. Will Gavin Newsom be recalled? We are going to be here till we kind of know what's happening. As you guys know, back in the election live stream that we did back in the fall, we were here, and I promise you, this is not an Apple commercial. When you look at the aesthetic, it looks like an Apple commercial, which is I promise you, this is not sponsored by Apple.
Oh, gross.
But we have a whole
it's like
new
Pod
set.
Save America.
We got to get the stickers. Connor's on it.
So let's go a lot. Let's go around the horn. Austin, polls close when? What are we looking? What are we doing?
Polls close at 8 o'clock tonight. So obviously, we have a mail-in ballot issue here in Arizona. Or in California, excuse me.
Well,
sorry.
Arizona, too.
I'm always
pick a state, throw a dart at it.
We
got mail-in problems.
It's been a while since we've done this.
22 million ballots had been mailed out in California. There's going to be three waves of ballots that happen tonight and tomorrow and leading up to the next couple of days. The first ballots that are going to be counted are all mail-in ballots. So expect the Democrats to have a major jump in that tonight. But that doesn't mean that it's over. The second waves of ballots are going to be people that have voted in person today or they went and dropped off those mail-in ballots. Third wave is going to be people that mailed in their ballots today or a few days before Election Day. So could be a short night, could be a long night. It's always
Look,
Election Day.
I'm a believer in this. I believe this thing is razor close. I believe that there is a silent Californian voter ready to rise up against the Newsom regime. Recalls are tricky. There's only one other governor that has successfully been able to fight off a recall in recent American political history, and that was Governor Scott Walker. Andrew, you live in California. Stop looking at the polls. Those are all garbage. Those are simulated. What are you seeing and hearing on the ground in California?
I'm seeing an incredible amount of energy for the recall and for Larry Elder. You could make the argument that I live in a bubble. I probably do. We all do to some extent. I will tell you that this, you know, you and I were talking months ago. I was underwhelmed. I didn't think that it really stood a real chance. All of a sudden, the energy behind the recall movement exploded. It was a true grassroots movement outpouring. I mean, you were seeing it in liberal enclaves, strongholds like Santa Barbara. You were seeing it in coastal communities.
Yes.
You were seeing massive crowds gather, local communities getting together in ways that I hadn't seen in California in a long time. Now there was, you know, there was Trump excitement, all that stuff. This blew that away. And I will tell you anecdotally, this blew that away. I think there was a collective exhaustion. There's just homelessness everywhere. It's expensive. We all look at the state as the weather, the topography, the everything about it. There's so much going for it. And to see it being run the way it is, it's a travesty. And here's the thing that people don't understand about California. There is a remnant of conservatives that have been there since Reagan was governor, since the 90s when it was still voting Republican, it was still, you could call it pink or red. There is a remnant there that is a proud base of conservatism, and they remember what it was like, and they've seen what's happened
yes.
to it, and it was a collective gasp. It was this was a way to fight back against the system, and it's real. I will tell you, it was real.
But Andrew, talk about how California has this fighting spirit amongst conservatives, amongst pastors. One church, everybody, in California turned in 22,503 mail-in ballots. Talk about how the remnant is alive and well.
Yeah, something that people don't realize about California is that it rivals Texas for the top state with the most mega churches.
And the most Republicans.
Yeah, registered Republicans were just massively outnumbered. And that's the Republican brand is definitely, it's not hot in California. All of that we would concede. That being said, this was a lot less tribal, at least at the beginning. Now, we can talk about how the Democrats have fear-mongered their way to scaring folks into thinking Larry Elder is basically Trump incarnate and that he's going to, he doesn't believe in science. Whatever.
That would be great. But
the point is that, there is more mega churches in California than anywhere else. There's been massive church planting movements that sprung out of California, which obviously, as you know, Jack Hibbs is part of mobilizing that group. But it's a massive, massive part of the community still.
So, Benny, you've been following this and kind of covering this and also the movement in general. What are you seeing and hearing?
So I have a question for Andrew, actually. As a registered Republican Californian, what was it like to have a machine vote for you?
Happen. We're on YouTube. That's a joke.
it was funny.
It is a joke, but it's also reported in the corporate media.
That's true.
Right now, corporate media, Fox and ABC affiliates are going to polling stations, and Republicans are coming out in mass saying, they just told me I have already voted.
Yeah.
I have not already voted.
This is a big story.
Here's your provisional ballot and hope for the best.
Okay, so this is actually really important. So we're hearing rumors, just for you on the live stream, that they're about to call this race in like 30 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
We're hearing mass amounts of these rumors, okay? Why I am, obviously that does not bode well if you're a conservative in California, but here's a couple of things. Polling beforehand indicated that the Hispanic vote was the only racial group that was in favor of the recall. So that's the first vote on the ballot, vote yes. The Hispanic vote was the only vote, racial group that was majority yes. Here's the other thing. Dems are still not getting the memo. They are still hoping, this is according to the New York Times live reporting feed that we're looking at, they are still hoping to get a massive turnout in the Hispanic community. That could backfire. Here's what else we know. We know that Republicans do not trust mail-in balloting in California. They do not trust it precisely because of the reports that you are referencing. So they get 4 million mail-in ballots already from Democrats versus 1.7 for Republicans or something?
1.9 for Republicans, 4 million Democrats.
So what they're saying is that's going to help us call this race early. I would hesitate to go that route. What I would say is that conservatives are going to come in and they are going to vote in person. Those votes have not been tallied yet. The other thing is the modeling could be misrepresenting the Hispanic vote. Now, Benny, to your point, it is completely the voting system in California is in shambles. Ballot harvesting is completely legal. We know that activist groups are taking advantage of this. I am really interested to hear what Rick Grinnell has to say about this, as a matter of fact. And I know that he's about to join us. He's going to be calling
Rick
in.
Rick Grinnell, former ambassador to President Trump and also head of DNI and a native Californian who's still living there and doing a lot to try to change California.
Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm. Palm Springs, yes. Yeah, so we're going to be getting Rick on the show.
This is KTLA, Channel 5.
We'll get that sound up.
Yeah. KTLA, Channel 5, talking to Republican after Republican saying, my ballots are, they told me to leave the polling place.
That's right.
You fraudster, you've already voted. And these little old lady, one lady's 88, and she's like, I haven't voted yet. What's happening? And she said she was voting for Ronald Reagan.
We got Rick on.
Which camera? Are we here at Connor?
Yeah, the jib camera right here.
The big one?
Yep.
Okay, are you guys going to zoom in?
Yeah, we got, let us know when Rick is joined, please.
So.
I can hear you guys.
Rick, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. I can see on the big television here. You are in California right now. Is that right?
Yeah, at my home in Los Angeles and watching people all day vote. We've been voting for weeks, actually. And as you know, you can print your ballot from home. And I know some people who took advantage of that. So that's coming to a state near you any day now.
Wait, so can you talk about that? How some people aren't totally cued in. You can print your ballot from home for the California recall. How does that work?
Yeah, it's outrageous. Yeah, if you got a printer, you just print it at home. and
yeah, no one would
fill
abuse
it out.
That, obviously.
No one's going to abuse that or print it twice or print it three times. Look, you know, I don't know how conservatives and Republicans got into this corner whereby we're falling down when someone says that a requirement to use an ID to vote is somehow racist. How is it that we back down from that? I actually think we got to get more aggressive by saying, if you don't want people to have an ID to vote, you're clearly trying to cheat. Amen. This is very clear. I don't care what excuse the left is going to give us. You must have an ID to vote. That would dramatically clean up all of these problems of, you know, people going to the polls and hearing all day long. And this is, you know, media reports have been reporting. I heard Benny talking about this. People are going to the polls and being told they already voted when they clearly did not vote. I've posted a couple of these on my Twitter feed. We know that fraud exists. What we don't know is how much fraud. Yes. Because the reality is the left will not investigate. They mock you. They tell you that you're being ridiculous for pointing out fraud. But then you watch how their conversations will change. They move from there is no fraud to fraud to there's no widespread fraud.
That's
and
right.
I always say, well, how do you know there's no widespread fraud if you're not looking?
Well, and then also, how do you define widespread in a state like Nevada, for example, that you were on the front lines for, where Trump was only down like 10 or 15,000 ballots. So is that widespread? That's a real legitimate question. So, Rick, can you talk about the implications of this for California in general, long term? What has this done to kind of the conservative movement in California? You were one of the few people that believed in California, Rick, that said, you know what, we're going to go all in on this state. We're not going to give up. This is important for House races. This is important for so many different things. Talk about kind of the implications that this recall race has for the future of the country through California.
Well, first of all, let's be very clear. Conservatives in California have already won. We won by putting this to a vote of the people. We got 2 million people to sign a petition. We're fighting back. Conservatives feel like we've got to do something more. We got a whole bunch of frustrated Democrats, a bunch of people who have registered in California as a decline to stay. Remember, we've got a third of the voters are Republican, a third are Democrat, and a third are declined to state. And so we have a momentum on our side. I've been traveling the state for the last 7 months, and all I've been hearing from our donors is we're tired of being an ATM for the rest of the country. We should put the politicians in Washington on notice that the California donors are ready to fight here in California. So I started an organization called Fix California. You can go to fixcalifornia.com. We have an ad up already. We're suing every single county to clean up the voter rolls. We're putting an education initiative on the ballot next year, and we're doing data mining. We've found 1.3 million conservatives in California unregistered. So the problem that we have are gun owners in California are not registered to vote because they don't trust the government knowing who they are. Conservatives are extremely frustrated, and they have given up, and they've become an ATM, a check writing organization for other races. Over the last 7 months, because we've been able to put this to a vote of the people, the recall effort has been successful in galvanizing Republicans to fight. We may not win tonight, but I can tell you that we're in this for the long haul. And that's why I've always said we need to structurally change the voter rolls and get more people involved if we're ever going to win on these fights. I think Californians are ready for this fight. And whether we win or lose tonight, hopefully we win. Hopefully we have a brand new governor. But if we don't, I want to encourage every single person who signed the petition, who lives in California, to keep going, because we made an historic effort like never before. People are signing up to fight back.
I love it. So Rick, can you talk about, at how regular people kind of made this recall happen? This was totally grassroots, wasn't it, Rick? Because we 100%. Kind of live in this time of top-down government, right? Top-down tech companies. This was just moms and dads and regular people that were collecting signatures. And it's basically made Gavin Newsom spend $70 to $100 million. It has made Barack Obama get involved.
Oh, we scared him. Yeah. We scared him. He's very scared.
So talk about that.
Look, we have a phenomenon in California that our young politicos, people who grow up and want to work in politics and who are conservative, they leave the state. They go to other states to work, or they go to Washington, D.C. We struggle to keep talent here in California on the conservative side because, frankly, there's not a single office in Sacramento, statewide office, that is a Republican office. We just don't have that many jobs for Republicans. And then we get people, you know, who like Kevin Faulkner, the mayor of San Diego, who think that the best way is to really water down your message and try to be a Democrat light.
Drives me
and
nuts.
Hope for the best.
Drives me nuts.
And yet what we've seen is a real frustration from that. So this effort, this recall effort, started with people who are just regular people who got frustrated during Zoom school. Really, Zoom school put them over the edge. Remember, Gavin Newsom still has emergency measures in place. So every county gets to do what they want because of COVID. He blames it on COVID. That's why we're printing ballots from home, is because they've scared people into thinking you can't go out of your house. We still have mask mandates indoors. It's unbelievable what's happening here in California, but people are really tired of it. And I've never seen more declined estate voters, conservatives, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, but conservatives beginning to fight back. So this is the beginning. You can put a stake in the ground that tonight is the beginning of the turnaround for California.
Hey. So everybody watching, we are here covering the California recall news as things are happening. I know there's a massive poll watching operation underway in California to try to limit what's been happening there. You guys can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, in real time. And we'll be taking one or two questions for Rick Grinnell on the super chats. If you guys want to do a super chat on YouTube, but maybe you're part of the enlightened and you're watching on Rumble, RUMBLE.com. And so just, if that's the case, just go to charliekirk.com/support and ask your question in that tab, in that kind of tab area. Again, email us directly, communicate with us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Andrew, what do you have to say?
Yeah, so you were talking about this is just the beginning. We're hearing that it's possible they might call this thing, you know, within a matter of moments now. I mean, it could be within this hour. I'm not necessarily sure that's the right thing to do if you're calling a race. We all remember election night on 2020. But nevertheless, if this is just the beginning, where do we see the opportunities? We know that there is an opening potentially with Hispanics, these non-decided voters that aren't willing to claim a party affiliation. Where are we seeing, what's the polling telling us? What are we seeing on the ground?
Look, I think they'll call it early because they'll get the LA County numbers. LA County is by far the largest county. They'll throw in and look at Orange County to see, is it way off tilter? That's the ground zero for conservatives. They might look at San Diego County, which is the second biggest county. And then we'll see. They know they're going to have a huge block from the north in San Francisco. But, you know, frankly, San Francisco is a small city. It's not as much as people think. So I think the momentum is just with everyday people. We'll look at the decline to state registration. We're going to dig deep on the numbers. So I'm working with Susie Wiles' group, which is a very good data targeting group. We are going to be able to tell you more about where we improved. But I'll tell you one thing that's happening. And the reason why my organization, Fix California, has launched, we've just put it forward with the Attorney General to have a ballot initiative in 2022, an initiative to every single voter, which will ask, do you want to upend the way the state funds education and have the money that is spent, roughly $14,000 per student, do you want to have that money follow the student and the family's decision as to where they go to school? This will create total competition. It will be the best in the nation in terms of 100% school choice. You will not get locked into a school because of your zip code. We've already seen Democrats really rally around that. Zoom school gave us a one-year education of exactly what it's like to be inside your child's classroom. And we've got a lot of people, a lot of parents really angry about that. We think that that is a winning issue, school choice, next
fall.
I couldn't agree with you more. And as a matter of fact, I want to give a shout out to Larry Elder on that note. His messaging has been phenomenal. He stuck to homelessness. He stuck to crime. He stuck to taxes. So he's been saying a lot of the right things. I think it's resonating with voters. And I think we're going to see that when all said and done. I want to give.
Can I push back on one thing on that? I feel very strongly that Gavin Newsom is the typical politician that has mismanaged the programs. And to make this a really local issue, I think the top messaging is about just the failure of Gavin Newsom to manage the water programs, the state welfare programs. We've got scandal after scandal when it comes to just managing the schools, for instance, and the economy being open. I think you've got to hit hard. And whoever runs for governor in 2022, you've got to hit hard on the idea that Democrats control this whole state. It's a one-party state, and they've mismanaged every program.
Yeah. So, Rick, I know you only have a couple minutes left remaining. And we just got some good news here. It looks like long lines have formed at election sites in Costa Mesa and Huntington Beach in Orange County, a traditional GOP kind of red area.
Yep.
Is that right? It swung back and forth. But, Rick, also, we're seeing that sometimes these Democrats, if you're like, oh, that's a Democrat area, they don't necessarily like Gavin Newsom. Is this more kind of an indictment of, like, California's kind of become an awful place to live? I mean, obviously, there's some nice parts, but that's kind of the
question. We have some amazing parts, but it's I take your point. The homelessness is out of control, the economy, the taxes, all of that is so true, and everybody complains about it. But in many ways, people, you know, are okay with paying high taxes here because we call it the sunshine tax. The weather is perfect. Watch the Valley. Watch San Fernando Valley. Watch L.A. County. Those are going to be the places that have heavy votes and have a lot of people who decline to state. Watch that section, and that's going to determine this election.
Very good. That's Rick, I know you have to run. How could people follow you, Rick? You said it's fixcalifornia.org.
Fixcalifornia.com or fixcalifornia.org. We own both of them. You can follow me on Twitter at Richard Grinnell, G-R-E-N-E-L-L, at Richard Grinnell.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Rick. God bless you. And thanks for all you're doing for California. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks.
All right. So, Austin, we have some good news, it looks like, coming out here. Republican areas are turning out in big numbers. Some good indications. Is that right?
Republican areas are turning out. But if you look back to 2018, there was only a 3,000 vote difference in Orange County between Gavin Newsom and John Cox in 2018. So that's a predominantly pretty much conservative county. If Republicans,
well, and we won back some seats.
Yeah, yeah. And if Republicans are energized and they want to get out the vote and they're really upset about what happened during all of the lockdowns, and this is going to be a bellwether county. Like, every Republican and their mother has to turn out and vote in Orange County in order to flip this thing. They all got to vote. It doesn't matter who they're picking on the recall list, but they've got to vote yes on the recall.
I think all these polls are wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to predict a victory or any of that. I'm telling you right now, when I go to California, there are lines like you wouldn't believe of people that want to show up. Seriously.
No.
There is this kind of silent majority. And Benny, we're seeing this happen all across the country.
Yeah. I mean, well,
kind of on the cultural side. I mean,
what you're seeing is people who are awake, who are becoming awake in blue states. Shocking. This week, in 72 hours, Joe Biden went from dark blue state, blue like the bottom of the ocean blue, blue like under 30,000 leagues under the sea blue, all right? New Jersey, booed, and miles of Trump supporters trolling Joe Biden through New
Jersey. Let's get some of that clip queued up too, Connor, if we can.
Well, we also have the New York
Mets. Turning Point Action signs.
That's right.
In the Turning Point Action Gavin signs.
Then Joe Biden travels to Ground Zero on September 11th. Gets booed at the hallowed ground of Ground Zero by the survivors of families and first responders. So there's two blue states. Then Joe Biden goes to California, which if New Jersey is blue and New York is blue, California is like desert sky at night blue. And he's, you saw the footage, we all saw the footage, miles of Trump supporters standing there, almost preventing the beast from traveling
through
California.
And, like, really intense.
That's right. Now, Benny, it's just, you know, that's just something that you saw online. It's just good for meme content. That is an indication of a movement. It's an indication of energy. You do not see those people showing up to support Joe Biden. You still can't find for me a human Joe Biden supporter. I've never met a human Joe Biden supporter. And And you don't see that on the other side.
Yes.
Kamala Harris came out to stump for Gavin Newsom, and more Afghan refugees showed up to protest, counter-protest Kamala, than showed up to hear her cackle like a Animorphs hyena.
Well, this is to your point,
remember
Benny.
The Animorphs book?
Yeah. This is to your point. We just got an email from a listener that's watching online, right?
Freedom@charliekirk.com.
This is from Joseph.
Email us directly.
Joseph in California says, I'm writing to ask a question. Have any of the people that endorse Gavin Newsom, Biden, Harris, etc., actually mentioned any benefit to his tenure in office other than belief in science?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, and it's this whole idea that they are resting on the idea of how blue California has become. This recall shows they cannot defend their policies. And guess what? If Republicans continue to play offense, I'm telling you, California could be a red state in 5 years, in 10 years. We have to believe in that.
Yes.
Look what they did. Look what the Democrats have done to once beautiful red Colorado. But yes. They believe they did.
And recalls. Nevada. And Nevada.
Nevada. I mean, where you
My
grew
home
up
state.
In. Those
yeah.
are your people. And it is a deep blue state. Colorado is. Nevada.
Nevada. We're going to win back. All right. We're going to win
Benny,
back.
But, Benny, I mean, you're in touch with the grassroots. You're a meme lord. We all are, you know, just so honored to be in your presence. Can you tell us what you are hearing from the grassroots and kind of what's on the ground?
Thank you for the early Christmas card.
Meme
Charlie.
General.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, his
here's an anecdotal.
Your Majesty.
Here's an anecdotal story. Little known fact, I was born in Los Angeles. Born in Long Beach Hospital.
I lived in
Downey,
actually.
California for the first 10 years of my life.
So you're not really from Iowa.
I call Iowa the place I was raised. Right. So when I was around 5 years old, 5 or 7, they moved us to Iowa. Rodney King riots. You could see the burning.
You remember the burning?
You could see the burning tires from our house, right? I distinctly
so it's kind
remember,
of like Sarah Palin. You could see Russia from your house.
That's right. Yes.
I could see the burning tires from my house.
You could. I mean, so my parents were like, we're not raising a family. We're not raising a family. It was going south then. That was in Bill Clinton era. That was like early 92,
yes.
93. 92, yeah. 93 is when my family moved away. I was born in 86.
HW, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's right.
So that's when my family moved away. We still have a ton of friends out there. We still have family that live out in California, out in the Los Angeles area. And they are telling me, and you say, Benny, it's anecdotal. Fine. You know, in some senses, all political stories and by the way, I trust anecdotal
more than these fraudsters that run the New York Times.
Yes. They're telling me.
WAPO.
And these people, a particular friend of our family owns a chain of grocery stores. Small localized grocery stores and kiosks, like bodegas in these LA neighborhoods, and everyone is voting for the recall. Not many, according to who is informing me, not many of them are super hyped about Larry Elder. And this is a knock on Larry Elder. I freaking love Larry Elder. I've endorsed Larry Elder. I talk about Larry Elder all the time. Amazing. But they're saying they're voting for the recall. They're voting to recall this guy. Because there's something in politics, there's a paradigm shift that happens when someone affects your life.
Yes.
See, when politics is far off and quiet and muted, no one really cares. You can be George H.W. Bush, not really affect anyone's life, not really do anything, just kind of hide, and you'll be like, okay. When you affect the safety of human beings and the places where you work and the lifestyle of your children and the air that they can breathe, when you fill the skate parks with sand, people forget that.
That's true.
When you use the dump trucks to dump sand into the skate parks on Venice Beach, you start messing with people's lives. And when you're messing with someone's lives, they suddenly become motivated, perhaps not to vote for Larry Elder, but to vote to get your ass out of office.
What Pastor Rob is like, yes. obviously so known for.
He's on the front line of
this. On the front line of this. Like, so you mean to tell me that the strip club can stay open, but yes. I can't go on worship Perfect. Once, twice a week? Are you kidding me?
Perfect.
When you start going after the absolute freedom of what America is all about, our freedom to practice our faith, our religion,
yes.
whatever we feel that we need to do every single week to communicate with one another, to practice our beliefs. And you say, actually, you know what? You can't do that. That's actually a public safety issue. I'm like, you mean to tell me that some woman dancing around with no clothes on is less of a safety issue
yes.
than me going to church and worshiping and praying
well,
with people?
And that's the idea of liberty. What is liberty? The pursuit of virtue, which is to come in congregation, to be able to worship your creator, to talk about moral absolutes, to talk about things that are objectively true. That is what the American system always meant by liberty, not the ability to go to your local strip club and, you know, to have some sort of priority on that. I want to thank Buddy Allen for your $50 contribution. Thank you. You guys can do that on the Superfeed chat or charliekirk.com/support. I just got a text from Jack Hibbs. I just want to say Jack Hibbs will be joining our program in a second. If every pastor was like Jack Hibbs, America would be saved overnight. I want to read a text from him here. He just texted us. He said, he says, Charlie, I'm telling you, something is happening here in California. I'm getting phone calls from pastors and Christians up and down the state, and polling stations have very long lines. Now, polls close in 38 minutes, so we're going to be on top of this.
So get in line. Don't leave if you're in line.
Do not leave.
Stay in line. Stay in line.
We're going to go county by county. We are going to go town by town if we have to.
Hold the line.
And we are going to hold the line against this. And by the way, the fact that we are here tonight, at this, by the way, how beautiful is this new setup? You know, it's better than that kind of dark room we did.
Than the cave.
We were stuck in there for like 2 weeks.
I know. Do people miss the dark cave? By the way,
I've done the dark cave.
You've done the cave.
But the dark cave for the live stream.
I think that the dark cave inspired most Taliban broadcasts.
Oh, that's very funny.
Like, they probably watched it and are like, this guy's got it going on.
It was like, there was that Twitter feed that was like the accidental hostage Zoom calls. That made like the Zoom calls that most look like a hostage situation. I think you made that feed one time.
Blink twice if Charlie's holding you hostage. Yeah, exactly.
And we have all these code words such as, you know, I'm here. Aluminum siding is here. We have all these
that's
kind
when,
of
that's when you got to turn the
they
AC
say,
on.
Under duress, say vanilla. So, if okay, say green.
Benny, to your point. All politics at some level gets local, right?
Right.
There was a great quote from the LA County Sheriff, okay? And this guy is an absolute hero. It's County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. He is one of the few politicians in California. Anyway, he's a politician. He's a sheriff. But he's one of the few that is respected by most people on both sides. And he's one of the few voices of sanity still left in LA County, I'll tell you that much. He said that Gavin Newsom has a four-letter problem. And this is what the four-letter problem is, to your point, Benny. He says, nothing will change your political viewpoint more than a transient taking a in your front yard. And I'll let you finish. I'll let you fill in the blank there. Than a transient taking a you-know-what in your front yard. And it's four letters. I'll let you fill in the blanks. It's a family show. The point is, I will tell you that even the most dyed-in-the-wool Democrats are fed up with homelessness in California.
We brought our show to San Francisco. We brought Benny on the Block, Turning Point USA show to San Francisco.
It was a great episode.
Through the Tenderloin in San Francisco. If you want to see a failed state, you want to see what third world looks like inside of the first world, go to the Tenderloin in San Francisco. Now, Nancy Pelosi's district in San Francisco is like the head of a pin. It's like the teeniest little section. Yes. It's like a perfect gerrymandered, win forever, plus 40D district.
Very LGBT, very, you know.
Go into that district. The problem is we don't often show the results of their policies. So we went, we walked through the Tenderloin. What did we see? Well, we saw defecation on the street, left and right. It was heinous. But what we also saw were hydrants hooked up to giant water faucets that looks like the United Nations had come in so that people, homeless people, could bathe in the street, so that people could clean their bodies after defecating in the street. It was sickening. There were needles. Our cameraman almost stepped on a bag of needles. It was so disgusting, and it's exactly where Nancy Pelosi represents. You talk to a small bodega owner there. His name was Amir. I will remember this guy forever. You can check it out on Turning Point's YouTube page.
Yes.
Amir says, I am a liberal. I am a Democrat. I will never vote for anyone in this city as long as they are part of the establishment. Of Democrats that have done this to my business. He's talking to me in front of a boarded up, his entire business is boarded up. And why? Because too many homeless people break in Nancy Pelosi's district.
You got your car.
You were a
victim of theft.
Oh, yeah. That's California. Right.
I guess I'll tell that story. So, and by the way, just if you're tuning in right now, results are coming out very soon. We have the entire War Room operation. We got producer Connor, who is just going at next level. You guys ever see The Matrix? You guys ever see The Matrix?
Yeah,
they're coming out with a new one.
Are they really?
Yeah.
With Keanu Reeves?
Yep. It looks bad.
You guys ever see The Matrix of the first Matrix of the guy that got killed, who was kind of a hacker? You know what I'm talking about? Did all these different computers? That's Connor. Okay. So, it will end up better.
Our data guy, Connor.
Yeah. Data guy, Connor. He is the guy that will plug you into The Matrix. What was that guy's name? He had the kind of weird half gloves.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite. We'll think of it. I was in
flip phones? You watch the easy.
I miss the flip phones. I love The Matrix. I could do a whole speech on how The Matrix tells the Christian story better than most Christians do. But anyway, so I was in San Francisco after we spoke at UC Berkeley. It was Dave Rubin, Candace, and myself spoke at UC Berkeley. We said, okay, we're hungry. What's open? Went to downtown San Francisco right next to the Transamerica building. I kid you not. Now, mind you, this was 3 years ago, okay? Right. 3 years ago. This was in San Francisco. No, that's the guy that betrays them. Dozier. No, that's not him. No, his brother.
Oh, his brother.
Yeah, his
All
brother.
Right, show
we'll get it in a second. Okay, so it might have been Dozier, actually.
Tank.
Yeah, Tank. They killed Tank. Yeah, that's right, right? Connor's the tank. So,
But we're not going to kill you. You get the list.
He's a tank. Okay.
He's a tank.
So anyway, I was in San Francisco. We go into Morton's right before it closes. Now, mind you, this is the financial district. This is the nice part of San Francisco. And we're eating, and we come back to our two Chevy Suburbans that we rented from the airport, and all the windows of the cars are smashed.
Wow.
And what's amazing is that in the nicest district, we come back to the cars, and we said, did no one think to actually call the police? Like, imagine you're just like a random pedestrian, right? Walking home from work. And they're like, oh, yeah, window smashed on two Chevy Suburbans right near literally JP Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo and the Transamerica building, Morton's. They're like, oh, yeah, this is normal. It's just kind of like street art. And we call the police. They come, and you know, their morale was low as it was, and they're like, yeah, so what was the value of the stuff they stole? It's like, that's a weird question. Like $600? They're like, yeah, we're never going to get your stuff back. Like,
but we're Charlie.
Happy. Let me finish. You know, happy to fill out this form. And this is San Francisco. It's a total free-for-all, and it's what we were warned about, because it's not anarchy. It's not. It's anarcho-tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
It's anarchy for the things they want to put into bedlam, like private property, like the raising of children. But it's tyrannical if you dare misgender somebody. They will use police power if you want to open up your church. But if you want to go stick yourself with heroin, or if you want to just go eat in a nice restaurant, you're putting your life in jeopardy. It's not anarchy. It's not tyranny. It's anarcho-tyranny, the selective enforcement of rules and laws under the preferences of the regime. Sorry.
No, it's absolutely right. What we're talking about is Prop 47, which basically decriminalized theft under $950 in California. And are they working?
I thought it was like $950, $1,000.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a crime in California.
Well, that's what they asked.
$999.
The police are like, yeah,
it's not a crime.
And Dave Rubin was like, man, I should have said I was like, you know, a gold dealer or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They would have deployed bullion.
These are $1,000 worth of clothes.
But it was Candace Owens, Dave Rubin, and myself. And we're like, this is what literally California has become.
You talk about something a lot that I think would be worth bringing up here, and it's a difference of the left's version of freedom versus what conservatives view freedom as.
Yeah,
right?
And this is a non-libertarian view. I'm sure there's some libertarians watching. God bless you guys. I'm glad you're watching. But like, we as conservatives are willing to make certain unquestionable objective claims towards moral truth, that having children is a good thing, that having the pursuit of virtue is what liberty is all about. Freedom is not licentiousness, right? Freedom is not the pursuit of pleasure. It's not to try to make yourself feel good in a moment. It's the value of the greater things, right? It is trying to pursue the eternal, to try to inculcate wisdom, to protect children, to preserve a society. This is the American founder's idea of liberty, where on the other side, the kind of, you know, leftists, if you will, their idea of liberty is doing drugs. Their idea of liberty is instead short-term pleasure, which is the complete opposite. We know this, that actually makes you less free, that you actually might be in some ways beholden to those things, that you might be actually beholden to those substances, beholden to those behavioral patterns. And there's some things that we as conservatives are willing to say, you know what, we might have some preferences, but we don't want to use state power to enforce it. Like, for example, soft drinks. Like, okay, Coca-Cola, super woke company, not good for you. No conservative is like, we should go outlaw soft drinks. Like,
we're not going to take away big gulps.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not exactly what we want to use police power for. But when all of a sudden the governor of Arkansas comes out and he says, and by the way, Connor, we can get some tape there because I think this would be fun as we kind of wait for these results, potentially. Connor's running all over the place. It's kind of remarkable, actually. Where all of a sudden he's like, you know what liberty is? The governor of Arkansas says, liberty is allowing 12-year-olds to be able to chemically castrate themselves. Like, no, that's not liberty, okay? That is the opposite of liberty. And conservatives gotten this wrong. Benny, what are your thoughts on that?
Kind of a raw toss there. I guess this is
Andrew,
probably
what are your thoughts on this?
Probably the right time to tell everyone that
you plug your podcast.
We're trying to grow a podcast.
He has a new podcast.
Trying to grow a podcast and a YouTube channel. Connor has so kindly put the link to my YouTube channel down in the description of this live. please go ahead and give us a follow. We have a whole team built out for YouTube content, and we are working overtime.
And we'll plug both. So go to Apple Podcasts, everybody. Take out your phone. Go to Apple Podcasts. Type in Benny Show and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Do it one after the other and hit subscribe. Subscribe to both of ours tonight. Benny just launched his. Let's give him some love. We promote our thing all the time. Benny, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the idea of liberty for a conservative. The idea of liberty for a conservative has to do with the ability for you to make your own decisions and not be enslaved to anyone. I think we do not talk about it in terms of slavery enough. So slavery, all right.
Well, no, I'm laughing. media matters on line one. Like, okay.
Okay, we're going to go. Fight me. Slavery is having no bodily autonomy. When somebody controls your body. Now, is that a substance, as Charlie's talking about? Could that be heroin? Could it be fentanyl? Could those substances be alcohol?
You're
yes.
Right.
That is have something else, some foreign agent having a control over your body and its systems. Freedom and the ability to be free and live free, the lack of slavery, is having no one having control over your body. You breathe the sweet, fresh air of Earth because that's the way God made you and because you have natural rights between you and God.
Yes.
There is no intermediary that is going to mess with those, muddy them, darken them, and control you. The definition of slavery, as prescribed by Webster's dictionary, is the lack of bodily autonomy. So if you want to talk about the current totalitarian fascism of the Biden administration, fully endorsed, by the way, yesterday by Gavin Newsom in California with Joe Biden on stage, Joe Biden's biggest argument in favor of Gavin Newsom is that you would get Donald Trump as your governor in California.
That's right.
That was his biggest argument.
So I agree. And so, Austin, let's get to some counties here. Polls close in 27 minutes. We are hearing huge reports of lines going up. And by the way, everyone, send this live stream link to your friends. We are growing in numbers. We have 6,300, I think, on YouTube. We have 3,000 on Rumble. Very enlightened folks over there. Facebook as well. So we have a huge audience here. Austin, what counties need to perform? Walk us through it.
Let's talk some counties. So Orange County obviously is going to be a bellwether for Republicans. Republicans just have to turn out. Like we mentioned before, Gavin Newsom only won Orange County by just over 3,000 votes, 3,093 votes in 2018. The next one is going to be Riverside County. John Cox, who was the Republican nominee for governor in 2018, he won it by just over 2,300 votes, almost 2,400 votes. Only 2,398. That's going to be another really important county for all Republicans to turn out and vote yes on the recall. The other one is San Bernardino County. Gavin won that by 16,000 votes this last time. But if the Democrat turnout is down,
yes.
Republican turnout is going to be up. Obviously, from what everything we've been reading and people that we've talked to on the ground, Charlie and I were in California last week for 2 days and Orange County and Newport, Turning Point Action, trying to run up the score. Like, this election is going to be entirely on turnout, Republican turnout versus Democrat turnout. And then the other county that we really wanted to bring up that I didn't want to forget is some of these smaller rural counties that actually turn out favorably well for Republicans. There was one turnout county this last time around in 2018, which was really unique to me, which was Fresno County. 124,000 people voted for Gavin Newsom. 128,000 people voted for John Cox. There was a 4,600 vote difference there. That's another one. So Fresno County, Orange County, and San Bernardino counties. Those three ones are going to be instrumental to the yes on this recall here. So it's still got 30-something minutes here. We're going to have three different types of ballots come through today, tomorrow, and the days leading up. So the votes that are going to come out at 8 o'clock tonight or just shortly after 8 o'clock are going to be the mail-in ballots, which we already covered, that you're going to be, you know, 7 million ballots that have already been mailed in. 4 million of them are for Democrats. 1.9 million are for Republicans.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take into account all the people that voted today and that have mailed their ballots in
also,
today.
Also, Democrats are voting in favor of this recall. We have to understand
right.
that. That there are Democrat options on the recall, and some Democrats have had enough. This tonight is a question of whether or not California, as its philosophical direction is correct, ruling class,
that does whatever they want. Homelessness everywhere. Yes, often.
And these Democrats, they could have voted yes on the recall, but left their Republican choice blank. They just wanted to get Gavin Newsom out. They just thought, they maybe think that anybody else but Gavin Newsom could be
a lot of this is just blowing off smoke for a lot of California voters.
This is a pressure cooker election.
Are there Democrats that go to church?
Well, no, absolutely. Well, and again, to Rick Grinnell's point earlier, there is a massive, massive number of conservatives that do not register as Republicans in the state of California because they do not trust the state. Now, Benny, to your earlier point on that reporting that we saw out of Fox about
KTLA.
Was it KTLA?
We can actually play that sound
of Republican-only voters were the ones getting told that they had voted before. I personally, my ballots, they showed up at my house on November. So I got my ballots the right way in November. For this recall, my ballots went to my in-laws' house. No idea how that happened or why. Okay, now we've got some other sound that we're going to play where some people in Southern California are receiving five ballots. Yes. This is, again, we've got news reports of this. Here's one thing I will say. So there is conflicting reports that we're getting. Here's one good news for conservatives. If you're watching, I want you to take heart in this.
A lot of good news, by the way.
Yeah, one piece of really good news. Happening. Check this out. Jennifer Medina, reporting from Los Angeles. She says, we're 30 minutes away from polls closing. With so many mailed ballots, we could have some quick results. But, and this is what's great, she's hedging already, with a close race and California being notoriously slow, we could be here for a long time.
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now that the Democrats are very nervous with what's happening right now. We just got some reports straight from the front lines of people that are telling me unusually long lines of people that are coming up. Now, just because it's a Democrat getting a ballot doesn't mean that they voted for Newsom. This is a pressure cooker election. Are you upset with how he manages the water? Are you upset with kids with masks? Are you upset with what's been happening with forced vaccinations? This is a recall election is so hard for the incumbent to beat because you have to persuade somebody that you're doing a little bit better than not. Not that you're better than the alternative, which is what Gavin Newsom do. He turned this into a binary election. Yep. Me versus Larry. Yep. Me versus Trump. Not whether or not he's doing a good job.
Science
not whether
versus
or not
nonsense.
Things are more expensive. What does it cost to fill up a gallon of gas?
We're getting. I've seen a number of pumps over $5 a gallon.
Yeah. I mean, I saw $5.15 in Beverly Hills this last weekend. $5.15. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Well, and that's some local taxes Beverly Hills puts on there. But yes, absolutely. I mean, I was driving through the Central Valley from Northern California down to Southern California. A couple weeks ago, I saw multiple stations over $5 in the Central Valley. In the Central Valley. I mean, this is, part of that is local taxes. Part of that is California taxes in general.
And so we just got a text here from Jack Hibbs. He says, got another report from Northern California, super long lines. Everyone in this pastor's church has voted. It's pretty incredible.
It's incredible.
And again, Jack Hibbs, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, will be coming here. He personally at his church collected 22,503 ballots.
Yep.
Nice. Just one church. Yeah. Can you believe that?
And we're also, just for the stream's sake, we're also going to be bringing on Jack Posobiec, Rob McCoy, Jack Hibbs, and Alex Marlowe. So we got lots of people coming in and giving us reports.
We have every single county broken down here as it starts coming. Polls are closing momentarily here. And producer Connor, thank you very much, otherwise known as Tank from The Matrix, doing a great job. And we'll give you that tank.
That's good.
Isn't that good?
I like Tank.
Yeah,
tank
is a good name for Connor.
I love it. It's terrific.
All right, speaking of
people
tanks.
People vote on that. Send us emails. Do you like it?
So here's some data on California. Your gas tank. Gas in California for the last 5 years has been a dollar higher than the national average. On average in California. 700,000 people left California last year. The first time the population growth has been negative in California in 15 years. Los Angeles County alone saw a 17% decline in the amount of children born. That's unsustainable, by the way. If you have a 17% decline
and
in the
population
children
loss
born,
in California.
And by the way, the population is mostly, that's majority Hispanic now in LA County. And for that community to be losing that many new children, that's breathtaking.
But this is why. Half of Californians surveyed said they are looking to leave the state.
This is real.
For millennials, that number spikes to 63%. And the people that are looking the most are young people and middle to low income people who can't afford to stay in California any longer.
Coming here to
man, Mr. Connor was in San Diego this weekend. He paid $4.60 a gallon in San Diego.
Unbelievable.
$4.60 a gallon.
What is the average price of a house? $800,000.
Well, and this
average
is,
and by the way, for a nice house, so, it's way higher.
As we're
over,
this is a great depiction of LA. I'm sure you guys can see it.
Without the smog?
But if you could see the bottom, it's kind of really lower middle class housing, which is most of LA, which are just used and abused. And then you kind of have up here, downtown LA, right, where the high rises and the lofts. This picture is actually probably taken more from the Beverly Hills area because it's looking west. I know LA geography way too well. Dodger Stadium's over there. Staples Center is right there-ish. It's like, I feel like I'm a California resident.
All right.
How dare you know geography like an informed
sales tax, 7.25%. Corporate tax, 8.84%. Income tax, 13.3%. Andrew, why do you live there? 13.3% tax.
You know what?
Taken from
but
you.
Family is a moral, an objective moral.
You know what? You know, this reminds me. This reminds me of Tucker Carlson had this show. It was your interview with him. And it was, he was talking about this. He's like, well, why don't you just leave? And it's like, you know, and he's looking at this going like, this is my home.
Exactly.
This is my home. My people are here. No, but my wife, is a sixth generation California. Sixth generation. She is, she's a blonde hair, green eyed Lopez. That's how, like, you know, the Lopez, it's actually from the Spanish. I mean, this is where people made their homes. They have property. They have families and communities. I mean, it's not just so simple as saying, get out of here, and we're just going to move somewhere else. I will say that anecdotally, the feeling on the ground, so many conservatives especially want
to
move.
This is a pressure cooker election. It's an indictment of all the problems in California. Gas taxes, inflation, water issues, fires. We could talk about fires for all day long.
Oh, don't get me started.
And by the way, so people say, Charlie, how can Republicans fight back? You want to know an idea? So let's take a state like North Dakota, right? North Dakota, super conservative. I was there a month and a half ago. And the air quality in North Dakota was awful. And I said, why? And they said, oh, it's because of California fires. I said, North Dakota should pass a tax every day that California pollutes the great air of North Dakota for destroying the health of North Dakota. That's called fighting back. Because all of a sudden you should be taxing California. Trust me, they can offend it. They can afford it. It's been a long week today. But I'm telling you that when I spend time in California, people all have their own little issue that they're complaining about. Just the general overreach, the wealth inequality, the pricing, and people are leaving California in rapid numbers. If it was not for illegal and legal immigration, these massively loose immigration policies, California would be almost nothing. Meaning, not nothing in the sense that, like, in a good way, the population would be dismal. Do you know that 27% of people in California were not born in America? 27%.
So that's over a quarter of
almost one third. Yeah, that's right over a quarter. You're right.
I feel bad for those people because they come to California and they think this is what America's like.
Yeah,
like,
well,
no,
that's geez, what I guys. That's what I tell people. It's like
they get out.
It's like when I leave LAX and like let's pretend I was some sort of like the Sultan of Brunei.
I mean, LAX is objectively an awful place. I mean,
LAX, okay,
terrible airport.
Freedom at CharlieKirk.com. Let's do a poll. What is the worst airport in America? Okay, I got a top five
LaGuardia,
running list.
I'm actually, I like
it.
LaGuardia.
Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson, LAX, right? Miami International Airport, Newark, or Boston Logan. Freedom at CharlieKirk.com. What is the worst airport in America?
O'Hare.
I mean, O'Hare is actually a great airport.
I'll tell you right now.
A lot of walking
in O'Hare.
O'Hare is a phenomenal airport.
I knew that. Forget him.
Here's the thing. You don't call yourself from the Midwest and you throw O'Hare that quickly.
You know what airport is way overrated?
Seattle.
No, it's Denver.
Denver.
A lot of walking in Denver. A lot of walking.
It's like in the northeastern part. Like, let's have it like 27 miles.
Orlando is also
Denver
really,
has
Orlando
a bunch of like occult
really
stuff.
Well,
like
no,
a bunch
not only
of
that,
like,
well, you know, freedom at CharlieKirk.com. Please share the live stream. We are moments away from polls closing.
Yep.
Austin, let's go through the counties again.
Let's go through the county. We got Orange County.
Let's go through the list. We have Alameda County, we have Alpine County, Amador County, Butte County, Calaveras County, Colusa County, Contra Costa County, Del Norte, El Dorado, Fresno, Glen, Humboldt, Imperial, Inouye, Kern, Kings, Lake, Lassen, Los Angeles, which is the beast. Los Angeles County, just so you guys know, in the 2020 presidential election, had 3 million votes for Joe Biden. Let's just be honest. I find that really hard to believe. Madera, Marin, Mariposa, Mendocino, Merced, Modoc, Mono. So we're going to know when LA County reports and how they report based on the margins.
Correct.
Right? And also the volume. Austin.
All right. So there's really four competitive counties in California. You got Fresno County. You got LA County. That's the big behemoth. That's the one that really decides a lot of it. Riverside, Orange County. Those are the four big ones. But if you think back to 2020, you think back to some of the special elections that happened in California lately, there's really five competitive congressional districts that are Southern California and somewhat Central California. CD 21, which is, excuse me here while I look through this, David Villado. David Villado was a congressman for a couple years before 2018 midterms, and he got ousted by what's his bucket? Can't think of it. He's back in 2020 because California and Orange County had such a really good Republican revival there. This is really important. The people that voted in these congressional districts, because obviously Trump didn't win California, but Republicans in general did very well in California. That's one of them. California's 21st congressional district. Well, there's going to be a lot of votes coming in from that district that are going to be crucial to this recall to vote yes. The second one would be Michelle Steele in California 48th congressional district. That's going to be like, Huntington Beach, that whole area right there in CD 48. That's another crucial area where these votes are going to come in. That's Orange County. That's a big chunk of Orange County. So the Michelle Steele voters that voted in 2020 need to have turned out already or need to turn out today on election day in the next, 15, 20 minutes. The next one would be CD 42 in California, which is still just north of San Diego County, just north of San Diego. That's another crucial one. All of these congressional districts, which would be CD 21, CD 25, CD 39, 42, and 48, all of those areas, all of those precincts that have hundreds and hundreds of precincts in that one whole area, the turnout thing is the most important thing. We're going to be talking about it all night. We talked about it all today already, is that Republican turnout is going to be the make or break of this thing. And you brought it up earlier about Latino turnout being a little bit lower. Also, youth turnout is being a little bit lower than what it's expected.
Young people don't know about the recall.
Yeah, about the recall.
They don't know about it.
This is extremely important. So you can tell by the way these elections are going to go just by voter enthusiasm when they mail in their ballots, obviously with Democrats, because they're afraid of their own shadow, they're going to be able to send it in. But Republicans are going to be turning out today, which they've done since 8 o'clock this morning, 7 o'clock whenever polls open, until 8 o'clock tonight. So if you're still in line, stay in line. There's critical counties. If you're in Orange County, if you're in Riverside, Los Angeles County or Fresno, stay in line. This could go on for an entire week, just like we did in November. Yes. Charlie and Andrew and I
the
were
the longer
in,
this goes, by the way, believe it or not, the better. I know that sounds crazy.
No, you're absolutely right.
But the longer this goes, and I'm telling you, so this is going to happen in three waves. Let's brace for impact. The first is they're going to do all the Democrat mail-in voting to try
it's
to win
be
the media narrative,
about,
right?
Yeah.
They're going to try to win the media narrative early, but I'm telling you that then all of a sudden the same day is going to come in and the Republicans are going to come in. So it's going to kind of be a mess, right? Andrew.
So CNN, I always look at these things because they seed the narrative to do what they end up doing. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. They seed the narrative. Here's what CNN's saying. The blue-red-blue wave the Newsom camp expects to see in the results. Wave number one, blue mail-in. Okay, we've already established that.
Right.
Wave two, day of, it's going to be red. Conservatives tend to vote day of. Now what they're talking about, you're asking yourself, what else could there be besides mail-in and day of voting? Well, they're calling it the after count. You might be asking yourself, what's the after count? This is another big blue wave is what the Newsom camp is expecting in the ballots that arrive after election day. The ballots that could have been postmarked today, but can arrive for up to 7 days. In 2018, 36% of total ballots cast in California were after count, quote unquote, ballots. Okay.
And I also want to reiterate something Austin said. Newsom. So I just got this right here. Where this went away. Yeah. Younger voters. I'm going to get to some numbers, have the lowest turnout of any group by far. And they are the most reliable Democrat base and younger voters of color. So let me go to this. Younger voters, 28% of all the ballots mailed for this election went to voters, but those voters have returned the fewest ballots so far of any demographic.
Right. So while just 20%, or excuse me, Latinos and young voters could have a large impact on the outcome of the recall. Vote totals show that last week, 40% of registered voters who are white had returned their ballots compared to 22% of registered voters who are Latino. More than half of the state's registered voters, 65 and older, had returned their ballots, while just 20% of those ages, 18 to 34, had done so.
This goes back to what Richard Barris, Big Data poll,
he was saying about that. This is an older and whiter electorate, which helps the challenger. That does not help Newsom. Newsom wants younger and people of color, whatever that means, right?
And to be honest, one of the things that you have to understand about elections in general is that the incumbent is favored, except for
in recalls.
In recalls, okay?
Recalls, you are super vulnerable, everybody.
Yeah.
So, look, they're nervous. They spent so much money on this. And tell me this. People say, Charlie, it was over a week ago. I said, if it was over, I was watched the USC-Stanford game. USC coach got fired, actually, which was great to see. Watched the Oregon Ducks win, which was really nice. I must have saw the Obama ad 25 times. I said, if they are so confident, why is Reed Hastings spending, who is the founder of Netflix or whatever, that much money on it? Andrew, how many times have you seen the Obama ad?
Oh, hundreds.
It's ubiquitous.
Hundreds. I'm not kidding. I mean, between, hey, listen, my wife keeps throwing her phone at the ground because they keep playing the ad over and over again.
It is everywhere. So here's some good stats on recalls, okay? Is that when you go about, so just so you know, the removal rate in California, 78%. So just getting to a recall means that you have a real tough chance to survive. And they know this. That's why they're doing all these suppression polls. That's why all these polls are garbage, everybody. This thing's going to be tight. In fact, I'm looking at some journalists right now. They're saying
they're hedging.
They're hedging. This thing might be a little tighter than you think. High turnout.
They're taking the under. They're not taking the under.
No. And quite honestly, you know, Gavin Newsom is going to be kind of nervous looking at this. I got to be honest. But he's got every single little trick up his sleeve imaginable. But I'm telling you, this thing right here, this is the people challenging the ruling class.
I mean, look, like Nancy Pelosi, she became a member of Congress back in the late 80s, early 90s.
1880s.
Yeah. 1880s, more than likely, when California was just becoming of age. But being Speaker of the House, you've got Feinstein, who's been a senator since the American Revolution. Like, none of that, I mean, that is institutional power, though. So they're going to do everything in their power to help Gavin Newsom stay alive, because this is a huge blow to the Democrat leadership, the Democrat stronghold that they've had on California. I think, what was it, Schwarzenegger, he did get elected during a recall, right?
Last
time around. But they've not had like one solid Republican conservative governor since Ronald Reagan. And I think that Larry Elder would do a fairly good job. Anybody other than Gavin would obviously govern more conservatively. But this is not just, in my opinion, a recall on Gavin Newsom. Like, this is a Nancy Pelosi, Feinstein. Like, these people have been institutionally in control of California for a very long time. But,
it's, you know, so
where there's going to be waves of ballots, so there's going to be, you know, they're not going down without a fight. They're going to put everything in their power to stop this from happening.
And Benny, you mentioned how politics gets personal. So Gavin Newsom, of course, he signed the bill last year. Let's get, which one was that? The one, HR, what it was that all of a sudden decriminalized pedophilia?
We put on the Turning Point Action door hanger. Hopefully
that's right,
you saw it.
Where Newsom basically said, yeah, you don't have to register if you're a pedophile, not a big deal, but you better register if you're unvaccinated. So Gavin Newsom is declaring war on the unvaccinated, but is perfectly fine with pedophiles. SB 145, but also the one that if you want to go after people's livelihood, go after their home. On Gavin Newsom's desk right now is a controversial bill that would allow duplexes in a single family neighborhood. Andrew, talk about this. In California, it's because of all the traffic. Every city has their own culture. New York definitely does not have a home culture, but LA does, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is my place. I mean, not to say that's like a unique thing, but New York definitely doesn't have that.
There's not like LA. Yeah, there's a lot of neighborhoods in LA that have already been basically ruined by apartment buildings being put right next to a single family home. So in LA, there's a lot of places where that is kind of gone. It's become so dense. But if you just get outside of the major core of the city, yeah, absolutely. Single family homes are the culture. And, you know, as much as they try and reform LA, it's, you know, and that gets you to do the public transit or whatever, it's so car-centric. It's so single-family home-centric. But then, you know, throughout the rest of California, it's single-family living. As a matter of fact, little-known fact, single-family zoning was started in Berkeley, California in the early 1900s. So this is part of the California dream, is to own a single-family home, your classic quarter lot. And this is a massive bill. What this bill would do is that, and they've been trying to do this for a long time. For the life of me, I don't understand why. They say it's because we have a housing shortage. Well, we got people leaving the state. What's the problem here? And they blame all homelessness on this, by the way. This is what they do. It's not drugs. It's not illegal immigration. It's not overcrowding from that problem as well. It's It's a housing crisis. So what this law would do is it would take a single family lot. It would subdivide it. You could subdivide it into two, and then you could put two houses on a single, on each subdivision. So that's four units.
I want to say hello to everyone new on the stream. We have broke 7,000 on YouTube, and I think we're about to break 5,000 on Rumble. Email us your thoughts directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get in touch with us directly, I literally have the email feed up here. We are literally minutes away from polls closing. We have every single county ready to go. The tank is monitoring in real time.
Tank.
And make sure you subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, Apple Podcast, Charlie Kirk Show. And while you're at it, give the Benny Show a look and a subscribe. New podcast out. We are helping our friends, and Benny is one of the good guys. He's a terrific American.
Another good guy chiming in right now. Information from on the ground in California, in Calabasas. Doug DeGroot, one of our dear friends there, who is in Calabasas. He's trying to vote in his home. He's trying to vote in his home, and he is telling
me. Wait, in his home or his hometown?
His hometown. He's telling me that, well, you can print your ballot off at home and give it to the magical ballot fairy.
No one will abuse that in California.
Yeah, no way. Just like I printed off my marriage certificate in Mexico. I didn't get married in Mexico via printer. Massive lines in conservative areas but he's saying that the conservative areas have real problems because there are so few polling places.
I'm hearing this like you wouldn't believe.
Malibu to Calabasas, Westlake to Agora, Calabasas, at least 100 plus thousand people and only two polling places. He sent me this map, Charlie. You can see this map in the, look at this.
Look how few polling places
in the conservative areas.
Oh my
goodness. Conservative areas. But if you go into the deep blue, dark, poorer and more densely populated and certainly more
Democrat
areas, it's peppered. It's like,
we're always told that we're the voter suppressionists. Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a polling place every block.
Yeah, and so I just want to say this. I am hearing reports from at least 10 different pastors that the response and the lines are unbelievable in California. And actually, I'm kind of watching the New York Times kind of little feed here, the kind of little bloggers from all these people.
All the tweets.
And they're starting to hedge. They're like, this could be a long night. By the way, long is good in this case. I'm telling you, they want to call this thing early. Polls close in 1 minute and 41 seconds. If you are in line, stay in line. I also want to give a shout out to some of the amazing pastors that have been fighting in California. Pastor James Cadiz, a dear friend of mine. God bless you. Pastor Joe Pettick, Jurgen in San Diego, Pastor Greg Denham, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and Pastor Rob McCoy. They have been fighting and collecting ballots, and they have been driving this thing forward. It is so inspiring to see as we are 1 minute and 15 seconds out. Now, it's going to be really interesting to see. Now, I want everyone to just dismiss everything you think about California because recalls are unique elections in and of themselves. These are not like Republican versus Democrat. They tried to frame it that way.
It's all turnout.
They try to call it the Republican recall. But young voters aren't turning out. Hispanic voters, the electorate is older and white. And also, I could tell you this. All of the emphasis on ballot custody that we have had, what's the significance of that? All the emphasis on voting protocol, every Republican I know in California made sure their vote was submitted properly, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't blindly send That's it right. into the mail. Talk about the significance of that, Andrew, where people actually made the extra effort to make sure their vote was counted.
I will tell you that they're every
single... Doug got to vote, by the way. He got to vote. Took him 3 hours, but he got to vote.
Good for Doug.
3 hours. Love God Doug bless you, Doug.
No, I can tell you that all the local Republican groups that I get emailers from, they were all saying, you know, be on heightened alert, be watching for inconsistencies. Actually, I think Larry Elder has a, let's look this up. Larry has a reporting mechanism on his website, I believe. That is true. We're actually, Alex Marlowe from Breitbart was telling me about that just a few minutes ago. So, yeah, everybody's on heightened alert. Now, California, obviously, we don't have the political power yet to change the actual laws.
But I'm saying that people individually 100%. Are not just blindly sending out their ballot. That's going to matter. And so they're actually going into the polling place like, I want to know that it's submitted. I want to know that it's good.
Everybody has said that.
And what I'm saying, though, is that makes a difference. Right. That all of a sudden, they're not going to be able to do all their goofy. They're still going to do all sorts of nonsense. We'll get into all of that. But for example, when Jack Hibbs collects 22,503 ballots and he goes straight to the county, says, I want to watch you count them. And he has people from his church doing that. They're like, what is going on here?
That's right.
Right? It's like that. That's a game changer. By the way, you have 100 pastors that do that, I'm no math major, 22,000 times 100, that's like, what is that, 2.2 million?
2.2 million, yeah.
That's like the whole state. That could change the state of California. Let's get that up there as well.
All right.
Do we have Jack Hibbs in the queue? No, we just sent it to Connor. We'll get it on the screen. Do we have Jack Hibbs in the queue, or are we still waiting?
Pastor's coming in hot here shortly.
All right. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I also want to give a shout out to Pastor Che on Harvest Church in Pasadena. Yep. He is a great American and has done a phenomenal job. People are emailing us a lot of questions of like, okay, polls have closed officially in California. So polls have closed. We're going to be starting to get some results we're going to see what happens. And so,
one more important story before we start crunching all of these numbers.
We're crunching already.
Okay. Well, interrupt whenever you need to. Up on screen soon, you're going to see
one of the reasons the recall happened.
One of the reasons the recall happened, and certainly the reason why Andrew and Charlie and Austin are talking about how Democrats cannot count on the youth vote.
Yes.
Cannot count on the vote.
This is such an important point of the skaters and the surfers and the California dreamers.
That's right. The California dreamers come to California to chill, to skate, to live, to vibe. They want that California vibe. They want no one messing.
Right word,
they do not want someone messing with their stroke. They just want to live. And that is, as someone who was born in California, someone who spent a ton of time there, that is the vibe of the human, the energy of the humans in California is let me vibe. The opposite of vibe is what Gavin Newsom did during the COVID lockdown. In order to emphasize the power of the state, there are many ways to do that. You can do law enforcement, you can do brutalist architecture, the huge masses hovering over you, or you can actually take away joy from people's lives. For pain. And what Gavin Newsom did was fill the skate parks.
Yes, with sand.
In Venice Beach, California. We have the footage there from one of our friends.
Did we have it queued up? Did Connor? Also working on Jack Hibbs, but we'll get that footage.
It's in the
up.
Chat.
But what Benny brings up is what we're seeing right now in the data, that younger voters are not showing up.
That's right.
But the ones that are,
because they
do
remember
not like
this.
Newsom. So it's double as bad. Their base isn't showing up and their base has turned on them. And also that this electorate is what, Andrew? Older. And wider, Republican areas are seeing turnout like they've never seen before. And even the Democrat strongholds, you have to understand this. This is an important thing about politics, that if you have someone that voted for Biden and then all of a sudden they go and vote for Trump, it's not just plus one, it's plus two, because it's no longer plus one for them and it's plus one for you.
That's right. And there's a ton of people that are voting to recall. They're not voting for Larry Elder, maybe.
Exactly.
They're just voting to recall. They're like, hey, this guy. This guy filled our skate parks with sand.
He masked our children. And by the way, do not discount the fire issue. The fire issue in California ruins the quality of life, right, Andrew? I mean, that's something people talk about all the time. People say, well, Gavin Newsom can't do anything about fires. Wrong. Controlled burns. Fighting the environmentalists. You could end the fire issue in an afternoon. They choose not to.
Allowing farmers and ranchers to have access to that area to graze.
Yes.
Like, that's a huge deal.
That's so true. No. So, okay, polls have closed. We're going to be watching this. No news to report yet. We're monitoring on the Secretary of State website. Email us your thoughts in real time, freedom@charliekirk.com. Andrew.
Yeah, couple things. I'll never forget. Maybe this is a bit of a name drop. We were around President Trump, and
good flex,
he mentioned California. You actually mentioned. Oh, Andrew
lives in
California.
We were at Mar-a-Lago, and that's right. California came up.
Yep, California came up, and he commented about the fish that gets protected, and they keep the water.
Yeah. He says the Delta smelt.
The Delta.
What are they doing? Is it the Delta?
Yeah. Yeah. So he brings that up.
You have children with masks on, and the whole state going to heck. But the priority of the government.
I'll never forget. By the way, it was an amazing moment because it showed who President Trump really was. Actually, in this moment, he'd never met me before this moment. Charlie introduces me. I meet the president, and he finds out I'm from California. He instantly knows Delta smelt. He goes into farmers, and he talks about controlled burns. He says what they're doing to the forest over there.
It was like a three-minute deal.
And his eyes got all focused.
He locked into Andrew.
Issue by issue by issue.
In fact, I think we could go get that picture. We could put it up of Trump talking to Andrew.
I think that's like a blurry image of me. You somehow came in clean.
I got some numbers here for Orange County.
Austin.
I got some numbers here for Orange County. Okay, so shall Gavin Newsom be recalled from the office of governor? No, 58%. Yes, 41%. Now, but just remember, This is all the mail-in ballots first. This is, we're not, they're
yeah,
not
Napa
anywhere near
County
close.
Is also,
yeah, yeah. None of the precincts are totally reporting yet. Let's just keep going, but that's just for Orange County. So as other counties roll in, we'll continue to keep you updated.
So Napa County, which is traditionally a Democrat county, they drop all their mail-in ballots first. I'm just trying to see here how that tracks usually. Yeah, so this is not good news for Napa County. This is not good news for Gavin Newsom, what's happening right now in Napa County. So Napa Valley, super liberal, right? They drop all their ballots. Napa County is a 69% Democrat county, usually in presidential years, okay? This is presidential. So right now they drop their ballots first. It's at 71% to keep Gavin Newsom. You might say, well, Charlie, that's not very good. No, no, no. That's with their strongest ballot drop that they could have. That's going to get below their numbers from before.
Yeah, that's
they're not going to hit their benchmarks. That's the point. So that's the Napa Valley drop. It's 26,000 no, 10,000 yes. Napa County is one of the more liberal counties in all of California. Let's get cut 7 on the screen. Benny Johnson was talking about this. Just an idea. That California dreamers, that kind of loose attitude, leave me alone, the kind of freewheeling spirit. What did Gavin Mussolini, which is how he'll be referred to for the rest of the evening, Gavin Mussolini comes in and fills up the skate parks with sand. Let's play cut 7.
California, remember what they took from you. Remember what they stole from you. Why? Because they were concerned about your safety? No. They wanted to show you that they control you. They wanted to show you that you have nothing. You are powerless.
Yes.
And that they will hurt you in order to prove that they control you. Hunter Weiss is a skateboarder who took that footage with his drone against all the mandates. He went out and took that drone footage. It has 8 million views on Twitter. It became the defining moment. An image of that sits over my desk.
Is that
right? In my office, at my home. Just to remind you that the state is there to hurt you.
There was numerous stories of the Coast Guard, or it's not really the Coast Guard, sorry, but it's the police in boats.
Yes.
They came and they would see a surfer surfing in the middle of the ocean, and they would tell them to get onto shore.
So we got some numbers out from Ventura County. Again, they're not hitting their marks. 133,000 for to keep Gavin Newsom, 73,000 not to. That's 64%. And so just so you know, Ventura County is usually a 59% Democrat county.
Yep.
But I could tell you, the people of Pastor Rob's church in Ventura, they're not part of this vote drop. So they are not hitting their early margins. They need to be crushing these, right? Almost 2-1. They need to be above this.
Yeah,
by like 10 or 15. The point is that
10% difference.
Yeah. And this is going to go. They are going to not hit their metrics so far in Napa and Ventura. Now, is it going to be enough? We got to run up the score in Orange County. These are still very preliminary numbers that we're showing right now in Napa County and Ventura County. But the point is that they need, and we also have San Diego County that has just dropped some ballots here. Let's go to that. Wow. San Diego is much closer than I thought it would be. That's really close. Not good
basically
for Gavin Newsom.
60-40 with the early mail-in.
Yeah, but
this is, by the way, this is the blue wave.
Look, that's usually.
This is the blue wave. They're under. They are under.
The blue wave. So this is the first round of votes, right?
They're officially.
And they are underperforming. Just to give you an idea, the blue wave that has just dropped in San Diego, 491,000 to keep Newsom, 319,000 to remove Newsom. That is 60% for Newsom, 40% against, without any of the more Republican high propensity voters to drop, is exactly the percentage that was in the 2020 presidential election. That number is going to plummet by at least 8-10%.
When the red wave comes, right?
So remember, we talked about, can you walk through, Andrew, how this works as our native California?
Basically, we're going to have the blue wave is what is getting counted first, and that is all mail-in ballots. Those tend to be predominantly Democrat-leaning. You had the numbers before. Give us the total of mail-in ballots.
So 7.7 million of the 21 that had been sent out, 4 million of them were Democrats. Only 1.9 were Republicans.
Yes. It's amazing.
Okay. So.
So that's almost half. That's about half and half.
But the point is, Democrats like to do mail-in voting. We're going to see that. So that's the blue wave. So these first numbers that we're seeing reported in California right now represents the blue wave. Okay. So to Charlie's point, if you're getting the blue wave as your first ballots being counted and you're only matching the percentage that we saw in 2020 of all ballots cast, that means you are underperforming.
They're underperforming with their strongest drop. L.A. County just dropped 2. Was that L.A.? No, it's Ventura. I'm sorry. L.A.'s going to wait. I think L.A.'s going to pull. L.A.'s going to pull a Philadelphia, in my opinion. L.A.'s their stronghold.
Well, in the Bay Area, let's be honest.
Bay Area and Philadelphia. But San Diego, where Kevin Faulkner is running for governor, he's not going to get the most. Mm-hmm. Governor of San Diego, their margins right now, you guys remember how, for example, when Ohio first dropped, remember with Trump? And all of a sudden it was like, Trump is down by 40 points. We're like, no. This is like Cleveland, Columbus dropping their early voting. That's what we're seeing in real time. Okay, Trinity County. This will be super interesting. Small county up in Northern California. I think Trinity County is where Redding, California is, where Bethel Church is. Where's Trinity?
Trinity's actually up here.
Bleeds over. Yeah, so Trinity, get this. So Trinity County, with their strongest that they could possibly have, their strongest ballots, Trinity County is usually a Democrat county. And with that being said,
I think
I might have this.
Trinity was, it's a small county, but it went 57% Republican.
I thought it was 54%. Maybe I'm reading that wrong.
Governor. This is gubernatorial.
This is right. No. Yeah, Trinity is usually a 50% county, right? And yet, so Republicans right now on the early voting dump, if I'm reading this correctly, we're overperforming by 5 points right now in Trinity County. That could be a bellwether for the rest of the state. It's a rural state. So Trinity County, 5 points, because that's about five. Again, this is really early, small sample size. But guess what? Let me ask you a question, Austin. When people do polling, right, how big is the sample size when they do a statewide poll?
I mean, it's usually going to go between, like, give you a perfect example, like 500 to 1,000 people. Yeah. That's nothing.
If you
that's
get a good nothing. Poll, right?
A good poll, then it's going to be like 500 to 1,000.
We're seeing results right here. So in Merced County, I'm probably butchering these pronunciations.
Merced.
See, this shows my California literacy.
Another close county from 2018, in Merced County.
What is that one? Where do we have that?
So in Merced County in 2000, right, just to give you guys some background,
They're underperforming.
They are underperforming because it's somewhat a bellwether county. So in 2018, Gavin only got 52% of the vote, while Cox got 48%. Yeah. So
Democrat enthusiasm right now.
Yeah.
So that without the red ballots being
exactly
put in,
exactly.
Right?
So this could be a ball game here, folks.
I totally agree. So none of their counties are overperforming with their big ballot drops. Now let's go to another county that is just that's just Trinity County as Trinity County drops. Okay, my eyes are really on San Diego County, and my big one is going to be the beast, Orange County. Orange County, I think, is going
to
determine the entire election, in my personal opinion. Orange County is really a traditionally Republican county, but Andrew, it's changed in recent years.
Yeah, it's changed. It used to be reliably red, then it went to sort of light pink, and then it became purple. Light but pink. I will tell you that we won back some ground in 2020, and that was, frankly, it's because conservatives started ballot harvesting. You know, we're in a Gibbs. Yeah, we're in a state literally where ballot harvesting is legal, and unfortunately, conservatives can shout at the wind and say this shouldn't be legal because it shouldn't. It's a total scam. It's a farce. But we have to deal with what we have in front of us. And so conservatives are finally getting into this, and they're starting to ballot harvest. That's what happened in Orange County. That's why we won back some congressional seats. Now, on that note, The House runs through California. You could say, oh, it's a blue state, screw it, whatever. The House still runs through California. If we don't win if we don't pick up certain conservative seats in California, it's something to always keep in mind.
Absolutely.
Ahead,
so Austin. Like I said, CD21 in California, that's David Velotto. He had just won it last year after he got kicked out. Michelle Steele, who flipped the seat. CD48, another bellwether area in California.
Yes.
CD42, Ken Calvert, which is just like west of Los Angeles.
Things are dropping really quick here.
Young Kim, CD38, and Mike Garcia, CD25, who just barely had won his seat last time. So these type of areas, like Andrew said, winning the House comes through California. Taking back the governor's office is going to run through Orange County.
Shout out to James Cadiz, pastor, Calvert Chapel, Signal Hill. He collected 2,000 ballots securely and safely and brought them to a location. Fresno County, which before in 2020 election was comfortably a 52% Democrat county, is just on that right now. I think that it could actually become a Republican county once the Republican ballots get sent in Fresno County.
So overall, this is 21%.
They're underperforming in every single county of where they need to be exceeding like 10 to 15% of their old numbers. They're right on track with their old numbers without the Republican ballots being. Are we explaining that?
No, exactly right. Yeah. So we have 21% of ballots in reporting. This is updated just now. According to the New York Times, it is 65 no, which is to keep Gavin, 34.7% yes.
But this is all the early. Again, this is exactly what happened. Remember Florida when Trump is down by 15 points in Florida.
Right.
And then, boom, all of a sudden it changes.
We're still waiting for day of voting.
Yes.
Okay. That so, could go late into the night.
Special shout out to all of you that are emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to say thank you to those of you that are supporting our live stream at charliekirk.com/support. Thomas from LaGrange, Illinois, thank you. Brian from Ocala, Florida, thank you. And Todd from Blacksburg, Virginia, charliekirk.com/support. Thank you, guys. Support us if you can. Austin, what are we seeing?
All right, guys. So we're looking at Fresno County right now. These numbers are just barely coming in.
Right?
Yeah, very, very small. Obviously, Gavin is up more than like 15% on the recall to no compared to the yes of like 2.6% right now. But this is all just temporary. More votes are going to continue to come in. Obviously, what we talked about earlier in the live stream was the 7 million votes that got sent back in. There's still another millions of votes. I can't do the math out of my head thinking about it. But the people that are voted today, they might have filled out their ballot or filled out a couple of days ago, that still have 7 days to have sent it in prior to today. So
the after vote.
Yeah, the after vote. So that's going to continue to go on for another 7 days. The state about votes. California is kind of like Arizona, like Charlie had mentioned before when we were doing like the 2020 stuff. It's like a third world country when it comes to counting these votes. One thing that I liked about Ron DeSantis is when he became governor, he told the legislature, he said, give me a bill that says, at 9:30 on election night, if you don't have your county results in, you're going to stand before a judge the next day and tell me why exactly you don't have that.
So
all the other states need to model after that. Like that is a 9:30, no votes, you're going to a judge.
I want to get Jack Hibbs in here. If I'm looking at this data correctly, you know, Lassen County is another county, Northeast California. It's traditionally a 74% Republican county, but with the Democrat ballots being dropped, it's 81% in favor of getting rid of Gavin Newsom. And that's right on the border of Reno, Nevada, I think, right?
Lassen County? A little bit north, but yeah.
Yeah, it's right on the, I think it's right on the,
yeah, Sierra like, County.
Nevada County actually
Loomis.
Might be the one. But the point is this, if I'm Placer reading this correctly, County. They are 5 points behind where they need to be. We might have a 5-point surge. It could be right within the margins. I could be wrong. Looking at this data, we're going to pour over it. Santa Barbara County, let's look at that one. So Andrew, those are your people.
Yeah.
Santa Barbara, which actually is rather conservative in most
There's a lot of money in Santa Barbara. There's a lot of like closeted conservatives. It's actually home of the Reagan Ranch and things like this, you know. So
it's 67% to keep Newsom, 32% to remove Newsom, but it's traditionally a 64% Democrat county. So again, they get all of their best reporting in, and they're still either tied or behind where they need to be. And every one of our counties is exceeding where we need to be.
There was an event held at the courthouse in Santa Barbara that was a recall Gavin Newsom event.
Yes.
And the local organizers said they had never, ever seen as many people come out. It was a sea of people. And you got to imagine, like, this is liberal Santa Barbara. A sea of conservatives came out in support of recall Gavin Newsom. It was a massive show of force, to be honest. I'd never seen anything like I didn't know there was that many conservatives in Santa Barbara.
Let me read this. From the New York Times, which I'm not always one to cite, but it's their own internal stuff. The batch of votes we are describing right now are heavily Democratic. Democrats have historically voted in higher numbers by mail. Newsom strategists expect a big advantage in all of these early turns. Again, big advantage. There's no big advantage in any of these numbers we're going through. They're tied or worse than they were in 2020 or 18, particularly in populous counties like L.A. and San Francisco. Let's look at L.A. County. They just dropped 76%. In favor of the Democrats, which traditionally, let's go to L.A. County, they're 71%. Again, with their heaviest, they're only this is holding almost.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-6%, right where the number used to be. But that's going to slide by at least another 10 points, right?
It's 59% of estimated votes reported.
Considering this is their heavy push. This is their this is their blitzkrieg, right?
Yeah.
This is everything they've got.
Well, and you
got
to remember, Los Angeles County is big. So don't just think of the city of L.A., which is going to be, you know, probably 80-20. You got to think of the fact that they have
the far-reaching parts.
Alex Villanueva is their sheriff, who's relatively conservative.
Yes.
I mean, there is a lot of rural area in that.
I have some devastating numbers to report here. It looks like Gavin Newsom has held the French Laundry. That's right. Napa County voting 71%.
He's got the French Laundry vote.
That's right. Now, Gavin Newsom does own a winery there, and this is where Pelosi lives, behind a massive
Can we just talk about his jet black hair? Like, I mean,
or it's grayish. It's slicked.
It's getting a little white lately. Yeah.
His voice.
A little white lately.
He looks like if you believe in the Joker origin story where he falls into a vat of acid, he's the pre-Joker. You know, before the fall into the vat of acid.
So I got some numbers here
yes.
for Fresno County. So no on the recall, 83,000. which is 53% of the vote. Yes, 71,000 with 46% of the vote. So
that's trending very good.
It's trending here, really
folks.
Nicely.
Very good.
I'm telling you, that
Fresno coming
there's
in
about to. So all the early votes are here.
That's very good.
And it very well might all of a sudden. I'm telling you right now, in about 30 minutes, I think we're going to see a little bit of an equilibrium happen here. So statewide, don't believe the fake news media. We are the place here to look at real numbers, real things. That it looks right now. Oh my goodness. 4.1 million people want Gavin Newsom to stay. I know it's hard to believe. And only 1.8 million people want him to go. This is their greatest push they have. Their greatest push is a 70 to 30 push. It would usually be an 80 to 20 push.
Pelosi
at this point.
Is pouring a stiff drink right about now, or getting ready to.
It was amazing.
She took her dentures out, and she's just
Pelosi
to,
is ready to pour
easier.
It down.
We went to the French Laundry, and the
Yolo
staff,
County.
I kind of want to live there. And the staff talked so much.
You went to the French Laundry?
Went to the French Laundry.
You're doing very well for yourself, Benny.
I was a guest of someone.
Okay.
But trust me, I did not pick up the tab. But neither did Gavin Newsom. The French Laundry workers came over to our table. They recognized some of the people in our party, and they talked so much smack about Newsom. They said that the entire story was fake news because they said that he had 12 people. He actually had 30 people
really?
In the French Laundry. And that he was breaking every COVID rule, wandering around with his mask through the French Laundry. Again, this is at the height of COVID. This is at the height of like, don't be around other people, close your restaurants, don't look at anyone in the eyeballs. And the staff at the French Laundry, who do not look like conservatives, again, they look like your archetypical Democrat voters, were just livid at Gavin Newsom. This is why it's like, to your guys' point, it's hard to believe that even 4 million people in a state want this man to stay.
So there is I'm not seeing any good numbers for them out of any of this, right? I mean, their greatest push, they are behind in every single metric that they possibly can in every single one of the major counties. Austin.
Yeah, Orange County's taking a little bit longer to upload,
just dropped.
But I think that's just because it is so competitive right now.
Yeah, they just dropped some results. Let's try to compare
but
them.
But then you look at like Fresno County, that's coming in really well. San Diego is still performing very well. It's only like a 21% difference right now. Think of all these other counties all added up. Republican enthusiasm is going to be continued to through the roof. Like these numbers, I mean, it's only been not even half an hour yet since the polls have been closed. The number is only going to continue to shrink. The best thing that, I mean, obviously we can do for this entire thing is that the Republicans who turned in their ballots is like, don't get discouraged. Just, you know, hopefully everybody turned in their ballots. Hopefully everybody turned out to show up to vote. You know, I don't know how California runs those elections, but maybe some of those Democrat precincts probably kept their polling locations open a little bit longer. If you're a Republican, stay in that precinct
yes.
right there and just continue to vote, man.
Totally. Email us your thoughts. We're getting a lot of questions. freedom@charliekirk.com. Someone says, Charlie, you're getting us excited. Look, we're just telling you the facts. We're telling you that with their best push that they got, they're not getting the margins that you would think that they would get. Let's do another one. Let's do Kings
wow.
County that just dropped. What, Benny?
Wow. Fox News just called Arizona for Gavin Newsom. Man, that sucks, guys. That sucks. He's our governor now.
Well,
we better,
Gary Lake,
a
might,
funny guy,
Gary Lake
we
might have something to say
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
Austin, why don't you
He's
tell us about that?
He's a funny guy.
I'm going to give Kerry a call.
Kings oh, County, my. Everybody.
Come Kings, on, come
Kings
on.
Kings County is usually a very, it's a very Republican county
by, play them.
By 54%. One sec. 54%. Yet even with the Democrats' best push, Republicans are what? What is the trend we're seeing? Beating the best push they have by 6 points. So we are seeing the best push be put forward in Kings County, usually a 54% Republican county. In this, 60% want Gavin Newsom gone. It's almost scientific across the state. It's almost hard to believe. Every single one of these are either overperforming or underperforming by 6 points with their best push.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? That tells you that this, when Republican ballots drop, this thing could get out
so
of control.
So what it's telling me is that voters that declare that do not declare that refuse to declare their party affiliation. You could also call them independents. There are technically two categories, but nevertheless, those people that are unaffiliated in the middle. This is where the whole election will swing. Will they break and vote for this recall? Will they vote yes, even if they're not dyed-in-the-wool Republicans, or Are they going to say, let's stick with the status quo because conservatives don't believe in
science? So someone's asking a question. They asked, what do you mean by underperforming? We are taking how these counties performed in the 2020 presidential election and comparing it to what we're seeing right now. The reason is we're seeing trends, right? We're seeing our counties outperforming their voter registration data. Are they turning out in high numbers? That's what we mean by overperforming, right, Austin?
That's right. That's right. So everything really is going to come down to, obviously, the votes that have already been tallied. We're going to continue to say this overnight just so everybody gets it ingrained into their head. The votes that are being counted right now are the ones that have been mailed in already. The 22 million ballots that were already mailed out to Californians across the state, 7 million of them have been turned back in. 4 million were favorable to Democrats, 1.9 million favorable to Republicans.
Yes.
That doesn't really, obviously, cover the independents that were counted in that voting thing. But recall elections, which Charlie mentioned earlier, Scott Walker in the last decade was the only Republican to be recalled, the only governor to be recalled at that time. Before that was Arnold Schwarzenegger, obviously talking about California. All recall elections are just turnout, turnout, turnout. So whoever, if it's Democrats, their party, the Republican Party of California, whoever turns out the most voters of their party is going to win that election. The independent voters are going to swing it one way or another, but if you do not get the vast majority of your base out from those parties, you're not going to win an election.
So I want to just kind of refute one thing that Nate Cohn from the New York Times says, where he says, look, Newsom got 65% of Napa Valley in 2018. He's at 72% right now. Look, these ballots are so in favor of the Democrats because they're early ballots. It is totally inappropriate to say that. In fact, I would argue the opposite, that if the margin isn't 8-2, like 80-20 right now, you got a problem. Andrew.
So we're talking about independent voters, and I want to compare the polling from 2017 to recent polling about how independents in California tend to vote. Now let's take 2017. In 2017, 29% of independent voters leaned Republican. In this most recent polling, 36% of independent voters leaned Republican. This is in the state of California.
So could you repeat that, please?
Yes. In 2017, 29% of independent voters leaned Republican. That number went up by 7 points in 4 years. So in 2021, 36% of independents in California now lead Republican, which is really, and to dive in a little deeper, independent likely voters are more likely to be moderate, 44%, than liberal, which is liberal 29% and conservative 27%. When you say moderate in California, I think those voters are breaking towards, yes, recall Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, and we're also seeing this manifest in the numbers. So let's use another county, for example. Let's go to Kern County, right? So Kern County, I just lost it. Where was that? Kern County is a small little county. Boy, I lost it. Let's use another one. Let's go to Shasta County, okay?
Almost Shasta.
See, that's why we have the.
That's why I'm here.
We got exit polls, which are largely useless, but we got some Shasta County, which is usually about a 60-30 Republican area, is exactly that with the best Democrat ballots they have to drop, which means that margin is only going to increase as time goes on. New York Times reports long lines reported in Irvine, California.
That's good for us.
Today, it's very good for us. Irvine is in Orange County. Exit polls, what are we learning, Andrew?
Kind of digging through the number. It's a very weird poll. And maybe, Connor, if you have any
it's
more
a
insight
CNN.
On this.
It looks like a CNN poll.
No, this
it
looks
makes
like
no
New
sense.
York Times, I think.
Yeah.
But it is saying 18% of California voters who voted yes believe Newsom's virus policies are not strict enough. This is why we don't trust exit polling at all. Basically, this recall would not be happening without the lockdown. This is sort of confusing. Yeah. Exit polling, this is why you take them with a grain of salt. You wait till the numbers come in.
So we got an email right here, freedom@charliekirk.com. They want to thank us for doing this live stream. You're welcome. We are going to be here as long as it takes, and because that's why we're here. And he said, I voted very early this morning before I played golf in Long Beach, California at the Westin. I know exactly where that is. There was a crazy police presence. All the people in line were Republicans, and we all agreed that Newsom has got to go. None of those votes have been counted yet. Am I right? None of the same-day election votes have yet been counted. And, hey, Connor, do we have that Wendy email that I sent you? That picture? I sent you an email of Wendy. I want to show a picture up on the live stream of Wendy, who shows 50 people who are still in line right now to vote in a Republican stronghold. 50 people. I think there's a little surge here. I think turnout is going to really blow people away. Is that Steve Kornacki?
Looks like it.
Oh, Steve.
Freedom at charliekirk.com. Turn off all that cable news stuff. We are the place to be here.
Right here.
Right now. And so people are saying, what about Riverside? We'll get to Riverside in just a second. I think we have some numbers. I don't even know. Is Riverside a county? It shows how little I know about the Riverside area. San Bernardino County, I know exactly where that is. Been there many times. Is traditionally, ooh, this is a good one. Austin, get this. So San Bernardino is usually a 64% Democrat stronghold.
Right.
With the best ballots they have to offer, it's at 57%. So they're underperforming by 7%, which means I think they're going to be underperforming by at least 10 points statewide.
It's Riverside County.
Okay, right, so yeah, so Riverside is a county. What does that tell us, Andrew?
Well, get the numbers from 2020 presidential.
I like the 2020 because that is a high threshold, high turnout.
That's the highest turnout possible.
Just so we're clear, California 2020, which we're referencing, is like worst case scenario for Republicans, right? It was mass mail-in voting. Trump was super unpopular in California. Would we agree?
And it was high turnout for Republicans, of voter fraud and things like that. Yes.
Let's put that. Can we get the comparison? You might have them here.
Yeah.
Cut 9. Let's play that on the live stream. Look at that line. Look at that line right there. It's dark outside in California. 50 people still waiting to vote in California.
I believe it is. If you've been in line at 8 o'clock, you can still stay in line to vote. So don't leave.
And they emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com. And they see that. Where the heck is Riverside, California?
This is governor's election.
Somebody's cut off.
Where's the...
We're going to get to Riverside in a second. But San Bernardino, those numbers look awful for Gavin Newsom, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those are dreadful.
Terrible. And when you think about it, too, like, these rural counties, obviously, they're going to perform very well from Republicans. But you think of a rural county, it's much more open, it's more expansive than something like L.A. or Orange County. These people, like, you know, typically live on top of each other. You have a neighbor right next to you. So you obviously, you're affected by the lockdowns a lot more because what are the lockdowns? You got to keep 6 feet from each other. You got to mask up. You can't go to church. You can't go to sporting events. So these people have been affected by it way more than people in rural counties. So don't expect it or would not be surprised if some of these counties are the ones just absolutely blow the rural ones out of the water compared to like the percentage wise for their votes.
And now if any of you guys get stupid push notifications or alerts that we declare this. We are ignoring all of that. Okay. We are going to go county by county, number by number. And I'm telling you, they are underperforming in every single county. There was a significant surge. Now, whether or not that surge will be enough to actually win in a plus 22 state.
I think we're seeing a surge. I think it's safe to say that we're overperforming
and
2020.
And the polls were all wrong. This is not going to be a 20-point Newsom win. This will not be a 10-point Newsom win. This is all of a sudden in the caution danger zone. And what else you got, Andrew?
Well, so we're already seeing the spin. So they're saying that this is Nate Cohn, 72% of Napa County, heavily Democratic wine country north of Bay Area. Newsom won it by 65%. So they're saying this is a strong showing. We disagree with that analysis completely.
Yes.
This is, again, the early blue vote we're going to see the day of.
I don't know how you could possibly say it's a strong showing when they're already underperforming all of the results that were happening previously without all the results. Amy Klobuchar, the snow woman, says lots of cool graphics and enthusiastic commentary tonight, but looks like a blowout to me. Wrong. It's not true. This is all the Democrat mail-in voting early and then same day voting and people that have turned in. We got our
eyes on
it.
When you eat your food with a comb, you should not be able to call elections. Like that's just.
Yes. So Austin, what other counties are we looking at?
So we obviously, like you just said, Riverside, Orange County, San Bernardino, LA County, those are going to be the best. All those rural counties are still critically important. Just to look back on this. So we were saying that Riverside for the Democrats is underperforming, correct?
Big time. San Bernardino is like a horror show.
Riverside County in 2020, Joe Biden got 53% of the vote, which was 528,000 people. President Trump got 45% of the vote, which was 449,000. Obviously, turnout is a lot lower this time, but don't be surprised if the recall numbers go higher than from what Trump got in there in Riverside County, because in 2018, John Cox got 322,000 votes, which was 50% of the vote there. So obviously, in non-presidential election cycle years, Republicans more than likely do better unless that Republican is in office.
Again, so it's a recall.
It's still the recall, but this is a referendum against Gavin Newsom.
It's harder for an incumbent to perform up to 2020 standards because of the sheer fact that it's a recall. This is energizing the opposition.
That's right.
Yeah, and Orange County is taking forever to continue to update their votes.
So, okay, because
I think
again,
it's just so many people.
Just so we're clear, in 2020, Biden won 53% of Riverside County, okay? 53%. Right now, with the early vote in, he's at 54% of Riverside County.
So what does that tell us, Andrew?
It means he's only a point better than what he did in all of 2020.
Without any of the Republican same-day election results coming in.
Yeah, so he's basically on par. He's at the exact same percentage total in Riverside.
Just to give you an idea of how much Joe Biden won California, 63% to 34%. Just to give you an idea of how blue California is, it's 30 points, right? Yeah. So the fact that with all the best ballots that they have at the beginning, that they're right on par or below where they need to be, shows that they got some major problems.
Yeah, it was a 5 million vote deficit in 2020.
It's remarkable.
5 million votes. And, even a large percentage of those were legitimate.
We have Jim that emailed us. California conservative reporting in. Lines are still long here in San Diego. Turn up very high here for conservatives. Get Gruesom Newsom out. I kind of like that. What are you looking at?
Gruesom Newsom. The realignment.
Mussolini.
The realignment, ladies and gentlemen. The realignment. What did Donald Trump do for minority voters in the Republican Party? Charlie, what did Donald Trump do?
Lowest ever black unemployment, criminal justice.
Yes, but in the vote tallies, in the increasing of margins in Latino votes and in black votes, you're seeing the same trends now. The party of the establishment, the party of the wealthy, elite, and educated. According to verified Twitter user Nate Cohn, New York Times writer for The Upshot, Nate Cohn says that Gavin Newsom is faring extremely well with white college graduates.
Yeah,
and that non-white voters, and especially Latinos, are turning on Newsom.
Yes. When was that put up?
Seconds ago.
That's six minutes ago. That's a warning sign.
I told you this.
Six minutes ago. Earlier tonight,
what did I say? I said, I was looking at the coverage. There was Newsom's team was saying to some reporter somewhere, we expect, and we're actually depending on high Hispanic turnout.
Right.
I said at that time, I said that is a warning to me that they don't know the electorate and the way it's turning. What happened in Texas was a precursor to what is now finally happening in California, and that is the Hispanic community is finally waking up to the fact that Democrats don't represent their values and don't represent their interests, and that Hispanics want what do they want?
Andrew,
your jaw
is going to be on the floor. By percentage, Latinos are outpacing white voters for voting for recalling.
Oh, come on.
Look at the numbers hard right in front of you.
Let's put that up on the live stream. Send that to Connor.
Well, I've got some breaking news here. Stacey Abrams declares victory in the California recall.
Oh, wow. Wait, Stacey Abrams ever been a governor of anything?
Governor of Georgia declares victory in recall in California.
Still the governor of Georgia.
Very, very good.
Who used to write sultry novels. Turns out.
Yes.
Stacey Abrams.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You are seeing a
remarkable trend of Latino voters favoring conservative policies and conservative candidates.
Why do you think that is?
McAllen, Texas, a dark blue Democrat city that just elected its first Republican mayor in a generation, a Latino man who won the Latino vote in a dark blue city. You're seeing now Latino voters outpacing white voters in California in favor of the recall. It might be the strongest vote for the recall, maybe the Latino vote in California. Remarkable.
So
these are the numbers.
Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's get that up on the stream. We are looking county by county here. And I could tell you that without same day voter registration, without the same day kind of ballot drops and voting here, these are not the benchmarks that you want to see from the Newsom campaign at all. Austin.
No, it's not. I mean, obviously, like 7 million votes to go through and the ones that just got mailed in and they have to count, that takes a little bit longer. And then plus the people that if the energy is through the roof for them to be able to stand out there at 8 o'clock. So if you're in California and you were in line before 8 o'clock, They're going to allow you to go through in your precinct and vote. That's another thing I really hope that people emphasized on in this election was a vote in your precinct, or if you had a mail-in ballot, don't mail it back in. Take it to your local precinct area, wherever they're collecting ballots, to your recorder's office, et cetera, et cetera. The Newsom crowd, the people that were voting no on recall, were not doing that. This is why this could go on for a couple of days, is that because people that got their mail-in ballots, they filled it out that day, they didn't feel comfortable dropping it off before, they wanted to, instead of not mailing it in, they wanted to take it in and drop it off. I don't know what Andrew did with his vote. I mean, that's completely up to him.
Well, I had to be here today, so I had to sort of trust the most secure Dropbox.
But the best thing that can happen is that people that were voting today stay in the line, or they went and dropped it off. So this could go on to the end of the night, midnight, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., or go on for the next couple of days. So, you know, it's always up in the air in this era.
Listen, I don't want to sound defeatist in any way, but what I will tell you is that if this doesn't work out the way we want it to work out, when all is said and done, every vote's counted, plus then some. if the Hispanic vote does what it seems very well
it could
do.
It changes political dynamics nationally.
No, it changes the trajectory of California. When we talk about this, could California ever be won back? Could we ever win it back? Well, in a state where you have that many Hispanic voters, and I don't know the exact numbers, maybe somebody can look that up for me, but it's like 40% of the registered voters is Hispanic at this point. I mean, it's something incredibly high in California compared to the national.
Daniel emails us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I surround myself, people at the gym, church. I've heard almost everyone say yes on the recall. I live in Northridge, just to give you an idea of where all this is coming from. As county results continue to come in county by county, let's go to another kind of bellwether county here as it kind of comes in. Here, the election day vote is coming in. Nate Cohen says it could take as long as 24 hours to count. After that, the late mail-in ballots could take weeks. And so this is their best push that they have. And there's a lot more that's going to be coming in. And so just also, this is some interesting there's no way it's 42.5, but let's talk about who's winning the Republican side of it, which I think is another interesting thing, right? So, Larry Elder, 42% of all Republican votes. Larry Elder.
All those racist Republicans.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Larry Elder, by far the leader, with Kevin Pathras, the Democrat, behind him, and Faulkner behind him.
How much of the Latino vote did Trump win?
Nationally?
Nationally.
He probably didn't do very well in California with Latinos.
Was he in the 30s? Don't we have a national?
Don't we have a national percentage?
I mean, we'd surely have that. It was high. It was record high.
It was like 28 or 29%.
Am I mistaken? Wasn't it record high for Republicans?
It's a record high. Rio Grande Valley.
He did better in South Phoenix in 2020 than he did in 2016, and did worse in like Scottsdale Paradise Valley here in Arizona than he did 2016 compared to 2020. So it's still going through the roof. And like Republicans control the border of Texas now.
Yes.
Like Republicans dominate Southern Texas. Right. Like that's incredible. It's going to happen in California. It's going to happen in Arizona.
Well, I will say that I don't think he broke the record. I think actually Bush got 41% or something like that in 2000. But
Larry Elder is winning every county against his fellow Republicans. He's won every single county. It's pretty amazing. Larry Elder has run a phenomenal campaign. He's a friend of ours. And so let's go to some other counties here as we come in. It's kind of hit the stalemate, hasn't it, Austin? We're just kind of waiting now.
We're just waiting for the next drop.
We're waiting for the next drop, which seems to be a common theme amongst our live stream, right, of people same day. I want to thank Stacy from Pacific Palisades. Look at that, Stacy, for her generous support.
Oh, God bless you.
At charliekirk.com/support. And many other. I want to thank Phil for your generous support. And I think I said Claudia from Idaho. I don't know if I did or not. CharlieKirk.com/support. You guys can support us with our election coverage and take up that phone to that beautiful podcast app. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Hit that beautiful subscribe button. And we're being charitable and nice. Do it for the Benny Show as well.
Wow.
Subscribe to both.
Yes.
And you'll be able to hear conversation about everything that's happening in our country, including
the Benny Show.
Including the Arizona audit. Austin, what's going on with the Arizona audit?
Be careful with your language
because of YouTube.
Yeah.
But what's going on here?
You know, this has been a process. So just to take it back, like the audit was never about overturning the election. It was never about, you know, taking electoral votes away, even though that's what we would sometimes hope that would happen. But it was about, like, the people of Arizona had asked for this to happen. The people immediately went to the state legislature, the state senate, who has the audit power, which has the subpoena power, went and said, like, you know what? the people have asked for this audit, so it wouldn't happen. And it's been a long, kind of drawn out process, but we want quality over quantity. We want the best results rather than just speed. And so hopefully, you know, it's supposed to be by the end of the, it was last week, should be by the end of this week, that there's going to be some results coming out from it. The guys that were doing the audit, all got struck with the Chinese coronavirus, so they weren't able to go in front of the Arizona State Senate and present some of their results. Yeah, so they were struck
with
the
China virus. I got some breaking news.
Go for it.
There's a breaking water main in LA County.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so everybody's got to leave counting the votes.
Wow. At Staples Center, a water vein has broken. I'm sorry, Austin.
And now they're duct taping cardboard to the windows at one of the polling centers.
That's right. No, they're putting up cardboard on the window.
Did we find suitcases?
It's okay.
Did we find the suitcases?
It's okay. Guys, Stacey Abrams has rented a U-Haul and is backing that thing up into the polling center and bringing all the ballots with her.
Which is probably right, because you can get U-Hauls going east to west. You can't get them going west to east.
That's right. That's how wonderful the job Gavin Newsom's done. I cut you off, Austin.
No, you're good. You're good.
I'm sorry. I had to interrupt. The breaking news. Water vein.
Governor of Georgia rented a U-Haul. She came in with her romance novels, wrote a whole romance novel on the way.
Stacey Abrams already declared victory, so who cares?
All right.
who cares? Anyway.
Audit. You know, what's going on with the audit?
So awesome. The audit stuff is like, so hopefully it results by the end of the week. It's only Tuesday right now. They're aimed for the end of the week. This has been such a politicized thing. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but obviously the mainstream media, the Democrats and establishment Republicans here in Arizona, the McCain machine, the Chamber of Consultants, even though, they're supposed to be the people that are the business ones, they were so anti about it. That's what has drawn it out so long. Continue to keep the faith. People want to know exactly. There's probably going to be some irregularities that, are going to come out from it. But at the end of the day, the Arizona State Senate, in my opinion, the legislature as a whole, has done a phenomenal job to correct these type of things. It's set off a trigger, I think, across the country. Pennsylvania is looking into doing one. Potentially Georgia is looking into doing one. I know Wisconsin has kind of set the ball rolling for a little bit, but Arizona set the precedence of what it means to listen to your constituents, to follow through in these type of audit deals. So hopefully, you know, every single election after it happens, obviously the counties kind of do their own. The state should be able to do their own. And then the state should be able to hire an independent person to do it. Every state should be able to do an audit. This is not like a crazy radical thing. If the people have asked you to do this, you do it. And for anybody, for Republicans, like the COO of Turning Point Action, Tyler Boyer, had mentioned it during our rally to protect our elections. If any politician within the Republican Party tells you that election integrity is not the most important thing, tell them they're wrong. Charlie mentioned it. Resign, go run as a Democrat, and get the heck out of the Republican Party. Like, election integrity is everything. Hopefully after this, you know, they do the recall with Gavin Newsom. They have a Republican in there like Larry Elder. They do massive election integrity overhauls. That's what we're hoping for.
Benny.
So talking about massive election overhauls and changes in elections, the largest trend in America changing in elections right here.
Send that to, let's get on the stream, Connor.
Decreases in Latino support for Democrats 2016 to 2020 in Florida, a decrease of -14 voting for Democrats. You have many Latinos in Florida, where I live in Tampa, a refugee from a blue city, I guess, Washington, D.C. It's not
district.
A state district. I live in Florida. The first day I moved to Florida, there was an anti-communism parade down my street. I said, Kate, Jesus loves us. This is the great, this is like manna from heaven. Amazing. All Latinos marching down my street in Tampa against the Castro regime in Texas. -9%. This is a swing. -9%. Democrats losing Latino support. Same in Wisconsin, Nevada. And Pennsylvania, -6%. Arizona, -5%. Austin was talking about that, how Donald Trump won more of the Latino vote in 2020. And in Georgia, -4%. It's almost unbelievable with these kind of numbers that the Democrats could hold together a coalition of the dispossessed in future elections when Hispanic voters start to swing towards Republicans. Just a quick note here. We're taking the Benny Show. We're taking our podcast down to the border on Thursday. We're going to be doing a live podcast, half in Mexico, half in America. I am going to stay.
You're legally immigrating?
from the, I'm going to call,
are you vaxxed?
It's going to be the Benny Show on one side and the Benito Show on the other side. And so we are going to do our podcast. We're going to show you all on the Benny Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts, and on our social media at BennyJohnson.com, Benny Johnson on all platforms. You will be able to see how easy it is to just straddle the border. We'll do a full podcast on the border. We'll stand there. In the middle of the border, we're bringing all of our equipment down, and we're just going to stand and do a podcast from the border on Thursday. Maybe that's why Latinos are fleeing the Democratic Party, specifically the ones who immigrated legally to this country and are furious at what is happening with our porous open borders. This is a remarkable
trend. Mariposa County, otherwise known as Butterfly County, which is what Mariposa means in Spanish. In 2020...
Do you speak Spanish?
No. I just took Spanish class in high school and know more vocabulary than not. So anyway. So Mariposa County is 58% yes to get rid of Gavin Newsom, which is overperforming the regular Republican numbers back in 2020 without the in-person ballot. New York Times says here that we are going to see election day results come in, which will normalize this vote count. What other counties are we looking at here, Austin?
Okay, so obviously San Diego County, that's another really important one. Charlie was talking about that earlier. Riverside County, San Bernardino County, Orange County, that's exactly what we're looking at. One thing everybody should also keep in mind when it comes to these recall elections is that these mail-in ballots, I'm not exactly sure how California works, but I'm pretty sure it's like the same as all the other states. They get them, they send in, they count those ballots. They're already put into a data system. They're ready to be published as soon as they come out. We have not gotten a count yet of these new mail-in ballots yet. There is going to be a surge of Republican voters in Orange County. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a lot of people in Orange County that are Republican voters. Charlie and I were there this last week where we had a rally in Newport, and those folks were saying, when I talked to all of them, we had probably 200 people show up to this really grassroots rally to go and knock thousands of doors after. They said is that people are going to be voting in person, or they're taking their ballot there at that time. So Orange County is going to be one of those big places. San Diego County is going to be one of those other big places where it's going to be like kind of a long drawn out process. It's kind of funny because like all these people that mail in their ballots, the Democrats, they don't want to go and vote in person. So the key to victory is in these counties is just Republicans. Show up at your polling place and go vote. Right. That's all you've got to do is just show up at your place and vote. The Democrats have reached their ceiling. They're not going to get any more. There'll be a couple thousand of them show up, the Democrats that aren't scared of their own shadow that go and do it. But Republicans in general show up and vote. And that's what you're going to continue to see over the next couple hours.
I just want to say Jenner finished 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Out of everyone, she finished 12th. Or he or she or whatever.
1.2% of the vote.
He, Jenner. She, whatever. 49,885.
That's bad, man. That's rough.
No real grassroots movement there. I can tell you that much. So as we're watching this, look, there is so much more data that we are still waiting for right now as far as county by county data. Still very, very early. Just got an idea of like all the different votes that have been reported and haven't been reported. And anything else that would be there would be completely, and we believe, preemptive. But also, we kind of want to see the margins and what this tells us for other California races and also Democrats nationally. Right, Austin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so we talked about the districts that Republicans flipped in 2020. There's a few battleground congressional districts. Going forward in California, like obviously, if you're not familiar with what redistricting is, every 10 years, the Constitution requires that all states redraw their congressional and local legislative district maps. That's going to change in California. Hopefully, we have a Republican governor at the time in California and can have a little bit of help in redrawing some of those districts. But the thing that Charlie was talking about earlier is that these down ballot races and nationally, Andrew mentioned it too, is that the House is going to run through California. You're going to have five Republicans that came from very swing hard districts that favor Democrats, that go kind of in the middle, but they're really trending towards Republicans right now. This is a good sign, regardless of how the recall turns out. We believe that Gavin Newsom is going to be recalled. We're looking that way. But down ballot stuff is going to be critical for the future of the conservative movement going all the way through California. Those districts, but if this is any indicator how the rest of the country is going to turn out in 2022,
the fact this recall has even happened shows an unbelievable indicator. Andrew.
No, I just I've been sitting here kind of diving into the Hispanic vote. I mean, I'm trying to get, obviously I think there might be some exit polling that we'll see and how, you know, shedding some more light on where the Hispanic vote is. But between 2016 and 2020, Trump, for example, won, he got an 8% point swing towards Trump between 2016 and 2020. This is pretty amazing news, actually. So basically, the way this is, a Democrat polling firm that estimated that about 60-40 Hispanics went for Biden versus Trump. 60-40, essentially. It might have been 61-39. It's somewhere in there. But 60-40. Now, it was 29%. So I don't know where they're getting this eight point swing, but it was 29% of the Hispanic vote that Trump got in 2016. Now, Benny, I don't know if you have new data on those, on the Hispanic vote or where it's trending, but I can't overstate this enough. There, you know, regardless of what the election outcome is tonight, if Hispanics are trending in a conservative direction in California, that could change everything. It is,
yes,
everything about the future,
look,
of California.
And we have 32% of Orange County that has reported. So anyone that's out there that's calling anything, just time out, folks. Let's go through county by county. We're waiting for the margins. We're waiting for the entire totality of this. 70% of San Francisco has reported, 66% of LA County. But these are the early mail-in votes. I cannot emphasize enough, it is a complete disproportionate picture of what we're looking at right now. Austin, can you talk about how all of a sudden these are done in big batches? And there's a lot more information we still need to dive into.
Oh, yeah. So just to give you a perfect example, there is 1,801 precincts in Orange County alone. 1,800 precincts in Orange County alone. That takes a long time to count that type of stuff. It takes a long time for them to procure those ballots. It takes a long time for them, because I know in places like Orange County and some of these bigger counties, obviously, give you a perfect example, Maricopa County, it's a more meticulous process when it comes to counting these votes, your early ballots, your provisional ballots. Now we're looking at, obviously, there was this first big drop with the Democrats, which we talked about earlier, that it was going to be favorable to these Democrats. You're still waiting for these ballots that were day of voting. You're still waiting for these ones that were people that voted on election, or excuse me, that voted today, maybe mailed it in, or voted 3 or 4 days ago and then still mailed it in. Every single county, every single precinct has their own specific way on how they go about counting these ballots and the deadline that they have to do. Obviously, we would like for 9:30 Western time or 9:30 the time where those election results come in, that they are counted right away. There is estimated over 1.8 million registered voters in Orange County alone. Ballots cast so far have only been 721,000. They've still got quite a ways to go. If you look back in 2018, Newsom only won Orange County by just over 3,000 votes. If there's any indicator from what 2018 is going to be showing, this 2021 recall, is that Orange County is still going to continue to go down to the wire. It's a bellwether county. All these type of counties are important. None of the precincts are fully reporting yet. This is a big deal. Like, don't go to bed yet. Keep doing your job. Keep watching these votes. If you're still in line, if you got there at 8 o'clock, still vote.
I totally agree. Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would say that we still have not seen the red wave, okay? So I think every county by county by county by county that we're going through, everything is overperforming what it did in 2020. Just, yes, about every county is
overperforming. Vastly underperforming. Look, you have to look at the totality of this entire thing. And anyone who's trying to go quick to the trigger figure here, I think is a massive mistake. You just kind of look county by county. You look at Plumas County, look at Lassen County, look at Modoc County. You look, I can't even pronounce some of these counties, Del Norte County, and they're vastly underperforming with their best surge of ballots. But I'm just super interested also just in the general margins here. Like, they are, San Bernardino County, I mean, they are way below what they were before. I mean, we're talking about almost double digits below of what happened in 2020. And so there's this question of, if you take the entire state and all of a sudden it's within single digits, That is way, 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 way too close to call in a variety of different ways. Let's get some questions here that you guys have emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com, where people are saying, Charlie, what do you have to say about other people calling it? We're just going to go county by county. That's what we're going to do. Keep on waiting for it. Wait for same day, election day voting. And that's why you guys watch us. And you guys don't want us just to pander to everything else that is happening here. And so let's go to this question right here, where is kind of how do I know that my ballot is secure? Look, this is one of the reasons why you have to actually go into the ballot place and hand your ballot. And Andrew, how did you guys vote?
Well, I was scheduled to be here. So my wife voted in person, and I dropped mine off at a very I filled out my ballot and I dropped it off at a very secure as I could Dropbox. That's basically what I could do. It's right near the polling center.
And it's very clear that the margins that are being seen are so disproportionate, right? And that they are going to close very, very quickly when you look at kind of what's happened here. And this idea of like preemptively declaring victory at any time, that's nothing new, right? That's nothing new. And so the question is this, which is how and when do these kind of margins kind of come together? And actually someone is speaking who's declaring victory.
That would be
the tyrant.
The tyrant.
Mussolini.
Mussolini is speaking. But, you know, for someone, I'm seeing this note in a couple different places. So he's saying, oh, we didn't just vote no tonight. We voted yes to science and yes to vaccines and yes to ending the pandemic. Listen, for someone that seems like he is saying he won, he's looking awfully rattled. I'm seeing a lot of those notes.
Well, look, and we said this all along, and you know, which is the idea that this is even going to be within single digits is rather remarkable, right? And we don't even know what the final outcome is. I'm telling you that there's going to be this surge that's going to happen, but all of a sudden it goes from like 66% to no, and all of a sudden be like, oh, wow, this is within 5 points, right? Mm-hmm. This is within 4 points. Yeah. And so whatever you're seeing there, and look, if I was Gavin Newsom, of course I'd be declaring victory early. I'd try to get the media on my side and try to say that anyone have dared
again,
disagree.
I told you, they're going to be seeding the narrative beforehand. What did we say? Oh, they were going to have these after votes, right? Okay, so right now the New York Times has it at 66.8% no, so to keep Gavin Newsom, to 33.2% yes. That number is not the number. So don't see that number and say, oh, that, you know, this is the California's lost for good or something like this. Okay. Look at that number and understand that that's going to close a lot as soon as day ofs get counted. They're just going to take a while to count. We don't know when they're going to come in, but at some point this evening, it's going to come in. And yes, we're getting your emails, folks. We're monitoring the situation. Of course, what we're saying is, you know, Gavin Newsom can declare victory. That's fine. You know, we knew this was going to happen. We're saying we're going to keep watching the numbers come in, and we're not going to just jump to conclusions. Because if you know anything about the media, like my friend Benny definitely knows something about the media, there is a propensity to follow the leader, right? Okay, so one outlet calls it, then the next calls it, then it's like safe to jump in. Everybody's going to call it. Gavin gets to run up on stage and say, oh, we just voted yes for science. That's not necessarily, we saw this on election night with Arizona. Fox called Arizona way too soon. How many votes did he end up, did Biden end up winning Arizona by?
By less than 11,000, like 10,300.
So don't give me this that they could call it, you know, 5 hours before, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours before,
well,
right?
I'll give you a perfect example. So right here in Orange County, some new numbers have come out. Gavin went from 58% of the vote down to 57%. And yes went up, or excuse me, yeah, no went down to 57% from 58. Now it went up 42%. It's only been an hour since the polls. That number is going to continue to shrink in Orange County. There's other counties are going to be.
So yeah, you're starting to see the beginning of day of voting catch up.
Yes. So you can get up on stage and claim victory already. Like, well, kind of putting the cart before the horse. That's a little bit too confident in my opinion. But
100%.
Rob McCoy texted me this. He said, early voting is always Democrat heavy. They are underperforming in every county. Day of voting is always heavy Republican. California elections always go blue wave early. Red day, way of, and then blue wave corruption ballots after election. Let's get Rob on just to kind of give a different perspective on all of this. And if I was Gavin Newsom, I would go out immediately and try to take whatever, you know, credit that you might be just because you have an early mail-in voting lead. And it might be he ends up getting one more vote than the other side or 5% more votes. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about county by county, trend by trend. And also, Benny, what's your take?
Why does it always happen when it's like, we're going to, you always hear if a Democrat is ahead, like by a single half percentage point, call it 2% of the electorate, call it. Oh, done. Right. It's finished. But if Trump is leading by 10 points in Ohio with 98% reporting, it's like, you know, it's like going to be something very stoic. We must wait for all
of the ballots to be counted.
But there's only 1% vote outstanding, and he's up by 10 points.
You don't want to disenfranchise, you see. Stacey Abrams has a U-Haul truck.
We talk about
a romance novel.
We talk about this in big tech.
Stacey already won.
Yes. Stacey called it hours ago.
But it like doesn't, I feel like I'm having a little bit of a deja vu and also reminding me of like some of the worst days I've ever spent as an American, which are the days directly after the 2020 election, as you like sat in this malaise, you know, watching these gears like work and work and work. And so it's like, why doesn't that happen in this instance?
Yes.
Why don't we wait?
Right.
Why is my news feed filled? My news feed was filled. I didn't want to say it, but like an hour and a half ago, some of the more extreme left-wing outlets, I have an entire feed on my tweet deck of like, I call it lib hell. And it's the craziest Aaron Rupar and all of the like absolute galaxy brain
so
libs.
Cringe.
The
so
galaxy cringe. Brain libs, right? But they were like calling like 2 hours ago. There's like 35% reporting. You can just hear it like the Rancor from Star Wars. And so it's like they've been calling it for like 3 hours ago, right? At 5% in, they call
it. Well, I started the show saying that they were going to call it in like 40 minutes. Actually, yes. they waited way longer.
Literally, yeah.
They waited way longer than I expected them to be honest.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
So to all of you emailing us, yes, we see your emails and yes, we see the news reports. Again, our philosophy on the show is different. The other thing I want to talk about is trends. So when we see these trends, what's happening with Hispanic voters, what we see with what's happening with older white voters, what we see what's happening with younger voters, are they turning out? Are they not turning out? Are they enthusiastic or not? Those things matter, folks. Those things matter in the long run. A huge, huge deal.
So I want to get Rob McCoy on here if we can. Is Connor connecting with
him? I think the major story out of this night, as far as what we're seeing from verified reporters at the New York Times, the major story from tonight is that the Democratic Party has lost the working class.
Yes.
The Democratic Party has lost the working class and has become the party of the elite egalitarian class.
So we have, sorry to interrupt, but we have Rob, who's Pastor Rob McCoy from Thousand Oaks, California. Let's get Rob in here. Rob says, remember Dewey versus Truman, it's not over yet. Rob McCoy, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Thousand Oaks, California. Rob, good to see you. I don't know if I can hear you or not, so let's make sure we patch that audio.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes, perfectly. Rob, is it Dewey v. Truman?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, you know, it's not over till the fat lady sings, and she's not out yet. So this is California politics. You know, the Republicans don't trust the election system, and so they walk their ballots in. Everyone knows this. And you go to any election office like they did in San Fernando Valley, and they've been told they've already voted. We have this going on all over the state. And we're savvy. We've been doing this a while. I've lived in this state my whole life. And today, my wife took all of the ballots of our family. We brought them down and hand-delivered them. We wanted to make sure day of, we made sure they were put in the proper hands. We didn't trust the mail system. You can't do that in California. We're patient zero for ballot harvesting. All the misery you've seen across the country was first developed in California. Yep. And you know, you can give up and whine and complain about a corrupt system and then quit fighting and figuring out how to do it. But then you see guys like Jack Hibbs, who collects the ballots with his church. The one thing I wish Jack hadn't done was tell the total, because you want to keep that secret, because they're just going to try to print them at the last minute to see how many they can come up with.
That's right.
But we're going to pull it off. I really think this is going to happen. Call me, you know, Pollyanna, but I'm very optimistic about this.
So, all right. Well, so Rob, everyone's emailing us, and you guys can do that, freedom@charliekirk.com. And they're saying, I'm rattled. I'm, you know, Newsom is declaring victory. Just remind people, how do California politics work, Rob?
Okay, so you always have the blue wave first. They always vote early. They send their ballots in. And then Republicans do not trust the system. We've been worked and we've seen the misery of it and the corruption of it. We saw young Kim elected into the Congress. She went back for freshman orientation. And then they printed more ballots. And then the Democrat won and she had to come back. And then we finally got savvy and got young Kim elected again. We're smarter. We're wiser. We're walking our ballots in. So first wave is always going to be Democrat. You're watching it. And in every single county, the Democrats are underperforming. And then the red wave comes, and included in that red wave is also going to be conservative independents who also don't trust the system.
Yes.
And the lines are long. We're watching that at every polling location. You saw Doug DeGroot chime in. He's up in L.A. County. We're in Ventura County. So those lines, all those people who voted, those numbers are still going to come in. So the first thing that Governor Mussolini has to do is he's got to get the narrative, because that's what they do. They try to put the narrative, and then the press follows in line, and they all play the game, and you get, you know, Abrams from Georgia declaring the race and everybody else so that they can get the narrative out there.
But
the reality is,
Rob,
we're getting savvy.
Yeah, she hasn't sung yet. So
she declared but didn't sing.
Andrew, go ahead.
No, Rob, I want to hear from, you know, your firsthand accounts. I know you were texting Charlie about this, but, you know, pastors across the country, across the state, I mean, even in the Bay Area, what are we hearing up there? What are we hearing in some of these smaller areas, smaller pastors, but some of the big ones too?
Well, okay, so the pastors who are awakening to this travesty of the tyranny of the state. Now, you know, the church in California, we're divided. There's no doubt about it. Some of my biggest heroes have folded during this time of tyranny, and they have complied with the state while, you know, we have a virus that has a 99.5% survival rate. The elderly are dying alone. The abused are being quarantined with their abusers. They've shuttered our schools while more kids have drowned in bathtubs and have died of COVID. And they've watched this, and they've filled skate parks with sand. They've closed our beaches. They've destroyed our businesses over a supposed pandemic, where we're watching as now we're getting mandated vaccines, and we're watching first responders. Last night in our church, we had to turn people away. It was packed to capacity of first responders educating themselves and preparing to get their unions to vote in opposition to mandated vaccines.
Amazing.
And they voted today in one of the fire unions. And I sent Charlie some of the information. And once that's all cleared and all set, I'll give everybody an update. But that was started by just simple citizens, two firefighters in our church that just said, you know what, how do we stop this? And these are folks who've never been activated. They've never participated in politics in a large capacity, and now are organizing their unions. And police and fire have traditionally always been Democrat-led.
Yes.
They've been the darlings. They're the poster child for unions. But like we've seen in every Democrat-controlled city, that the minute that they create the chaos that they do in every city they dominate, they then turn on the police and fire and defund the police. As we watch these cities burn, these firemen, these police officers see this across the country. They're not going to put up with it anymore. And no matter what the narrative is by this elite class that has dickered with, and that's a good word, dickered. I have to say it very, very clearly. They've messed with the election system, and they're trying to implement it across the country. And we here in Ventura County, we have folks that have gone out to the polling locations to do poll watching. That hasn't happened in the past. Gone are the days where you can think you put your vote in and everything's fine. No, you must be vigilant to defend liberty. Amen. And I would just simply say to the folks out there that if you're frustrated and you want to quit and give up because you think it doesn't work, do me a favor. It moves somewhere else, because 1 in 9 Americans fought in the Revolutionary War. And you've been given unprecedented freedom for 245 years. And you're going to look at your kids and your grandkids and say, oh, the election was filled with fraud and I gave up. No, you don't give up. You go fix it. You fight. You become smarter than they are. You do what's necessary. It requires you to do more than just sit in your Barca lounger or send a visceral email to your friend. You've got to be activated like those young firemen
yes.
did. And everyone has to do their part.
So,
this election's not over and that governor's going down.
And so, Rob, I want you to stay right there. Don't go anywhere. And people watching, you can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support us at charliekirk.com/support. And also, something that I want everyone to do is to take out that beautiful phone of yours on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and subscribe to The Benny Show. You see, you guys didn't see that coming. You thought you knew what I was going to say. It's The Charlie Kirk Show and The Benny Show that you should both subscribe to. Benny has to go save the world and create memes. What are your final thoughts, Benny, before we get back to Rob McCoy?
Stay positive. Stay positive. Guys, this is a movement. Remember, we recalled Gavin Newsom. We voted for the recall is this. This was successful. The recall happened. This is the recall, right? So we recalled Gavin Newsom in a blue state. Joe Biden is being booed in blue states from coast to coast. In 72 hours, Joe Biden was booed, mocked, and humiliated in blue states across this country. There has never been a grassroots movement like this ever. Charlie and I go and talk on either small campuses or big campuses. Charlie speaking at churches with thousands of people in them. Some of those pastors have been on this live stream today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be sad. If indeed there are small victories for the left, the true victory is ours because we have the American principles on our side. I've never seen energy like this before in our movement, and I've never seen people more animated. This was a grassroots movement to do this and to take Gavin Newsom out in the bluest state, arguably, in the country. The most popular
Charlie, can
state
I say something
country,
to Benny?
And they got...
Yeah, Rob, he can't hear you, but Benny's got to go make some memes. Sorry, Rob,
well,
say something.
Yeah, I got to say something to Benny.
They got him recalled. So anyway.
Rob, go ahead.
Go ahead.
One second.
I'll tell you what Rob says. Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
All right. What I want to say to Benny is he memes the opposition until they cry, and then he memes them while they're crying. That man is epic, and he's absolutely right.
He's
2.3 million Californians got a recall on the ballot during a lockdown. Big win. $100 million spent by Democrats, and they're still, we're within the margin. Stay the course. You're right, Benny. Positive. I love that man. Light it up, man.
So stay right there, Rob. I'm at translate. You see, I'm your translator now, and I didn't need to get evacuated from Kabul, where Rob McCoy said that
Joe Biden would have droned you.
Yeah, exactly. You meme them till they cry, and then you meme them crying. I love that, man. Benny, great to have you here tonight. Go make some memes.
Thank you, my
friend. Check out the Benny Show, everybody. Freedom at charliekirk.com. So, Rob, let's go back to you. We'll go back to a full screen here. You're saying that this happens in waves, and it's far too early to call this. Elaborate.
Yeah, California operates this way. And you're going to have the Democrats voting early and often. And once they die, they continue to vote. We know there's corruption in the system, but we have to fight that. And so that requires that as vigilant citizens, we do more than just sit back and complain. We have to participate in every level of our community. And that's what people are doing, as I was sharing with you about those firefighters. Our church has grown 400% because we're committed to contending for liberty. And for the folks who've given up on the system and think that California is too corrupt to save, I love the illustration that I first heard from you, Charlie, with Governor DeSantis. You had Dade County, Gore versus Bush, dimpled ballots and hanging chads, and one man made a difference. And we're watching that this recall election is within the margin, regardless of what Governor Mussolini is spouting in his declaration of having won. It's not over, and he knows it, and he's got to get that narrative out early. And you're watching as Larry Elder is winning by a huge margin. One man will get in, he can clean up the system, demand voter integrity, which Republicans don't seem to want to do, and he's an outsider. He's not owned by this system. Even the party in our state has struggles, and it's frustrating. So folks, don't give up. The Republicans and the conservative independents, and including moderates and a lot of Democrats, don't trust the system. They're walking their ballots in. The big stuff's still yet to come, and the lines are still long. It's going to happen. And last thing, Charlie, someone asked me today, you know, what if he loses? And my thought is, we've already won. 2.3 million Californians signed a recall during a lockdown and cost the Democratic Party $100 million. And tomorrow when we wake up, regardless of the results, we are going to continue to fight. It's worth it. We don't just make it one event. Evil never rests. And as people who love liberty, we too cannot rest. Win, 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 and never be discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. This is huge. And we're doing great.
Yeah,
Andrew.
Hey, yeah, Rob, you know, one of the things that you kind of instructed me a long time ago, you were talking about your own race, and this might have been, I can't remember if you didn't win this particular race, but you talked about diversion of funds. Now, one of the things that I think is going to be the missed storyline tonight, and again, they're going to claim victory. They're going to, you know, like we said, the fat lady has not sung yet. This is not a done deal. So we get it that everybody.
Stacey Abrams has not.
She has not yet been singing.
She's not yet given an operatic performance.
Yes, okay, right. But she's got her cape on. We admit that much. But nevertheless, here's the thing. Rob, you talked about your race. And again, this was at the, I believe, at the county level. They diverted so many funds towards your race that you realize that it was a victory even in the end. I think that, you know, regardless, I'm not saying that this is over, but I'm saying regardless, there is a victory in the fact that they just spent how much money in California and they're not spending that to go ruin the country elsewhere. And I'm talking about the DNC.
Yeah, that's a great illustration, a great insight, Andrew. I ran for the California State Assembly. I had to contend with my own party in the primary that spent $1 million against me. It depleted my funds. I raised $1.8 million. I went into the general election depleted in funds, and the Democrats spent over $6 million against me in a lower house state legislative seat. And as a result, it was the last time that the Democrats didn't have a supermajority because they lost so many seats they weren't counting on because they had to put so much money into my race. And I got to speak at the California Republican Convention when the Republicans didn't even like me. I'd been a Republican my whole life, and they had fought me in the primary, but they ended up letting me speak there because the money that the hits I took, 6.6 million hits, allowed them to win races they weren't counting on winning. That's how we do it. Everyone participates. You carry your corner of the stretcher, and let's get California over the finish line, and let's win this thing. The best is yet to come.
All right. So, Rob, I hate to do this, but I do think it would be apropos for the audience to play at least a little bit of this. Now, Mussolini is obviously, we've already said it, he's claiming victory. Let's go ahead and play cut 10 of some of his victory speech. And I'm going to cut it off before it goes too long. I'm just going to be really honest with you. Okay. So I'm being told it's still loaded. Okay. Let's pivot. And let's go to numbers. Where are we at?
All right, let's do some numbers here, guys. So obviously we haven't moved too much in Orange County. We haven't moved too much in Fresno. We haven't moved too much in San Diego County. But that's all expected. This is going to be a long, drawn out process. Obviously everybody in America, for some reason, obviously until now, where elections are a little bit more paid attention to when it comes to the balloting process. Like a third world country, we're not going to know the results until Thanksgiving for some reason.
Vote.
Yeah. I mean, it's just taking a stupid amount of time, but like I said, keep the faith. It takes a little bit longer. You know, Gavin went down 1% in Orange County. And
we haven't got any more votes.
There hasn't been a second drop yet. This has only been all mail-in. Precincts take sometimes a little bit longer. You're looking at San Bernardino County. You're looking at Riverside. You're looking at Orange County. You're looking at LA County. Obviously, LA County is the bastion of Democrat strongholds in this country, along with parts of New York. But we really just can't, you know, just
San Francisco's worse.
And San Francisco, obviously. But, you know, at the end of the day, all of this is about is a referendum against Gavin Newsom. After 2020, the debacle that happened there, people don't trust sending in their ballots anymore.
Well, that's right. That's right. And my whole family, I can tell you, is, bleeds red. California, my wife's family, especially California natives, go back kind of like you, Rob. And they're all dropping off going day of voting. I mean, nobody is mailing in their ballots, all right? So, and what I can tell you is the similar thing that we saw, and Rob, I'd love to get your feedback on this because I'm a firm believer that we need to absolutely change the paradigm. We can't say, oh, we're going to do, see, I'm totally against this Georgia law. I'm against this Texas law. I appreciate that we're making progress, but Charlie talks about this all the time on the Charlie Kirk Show, on our podcast. We got to change the paradigm. I'm sick of this this mail-in voting. I'm sick of the 58 voting days and sort of the Republicans taking the standpoint of look how much extra voting we just passed into law because we're scared of being called racist. No, I want to go back to paper ballots. I want to go back to day of voting. I think anything else is just them setting the premise of the argument and us conceding to it.
Yeah, no, I agree. We're going to need a new executive in position to be able to pull that off. The Democrats have a supermajority both in the Senate and the Assembly here in California. Being a Republican in California is like being a California condor. You're an endangered species. And so we're going to need somebody in that executive branch to pull it off. And I think that's going to happen. And then we approach the election in another capacity. But, you know, one of the things you guys pointed out earlier on was the businesses leaving California. And I don't know if you saw that Hoover Institute report, but more businesses have left California in 2021 through August than all of 2020 combined. And 2020 was a banner year for businesses leaving. And that doesn't those are large businesses. That doesn't include the mom and pops and the, you know, 100 employees or less that have left the state. More people have left the state than came here during the Dust Bowl. We've lost congressional seats. So everyone's dissatisfied. Everyone, you know, I love, as it says in 1 Samuel, those who were drawn to David in the cave of Adullam were distressed, indebted, and discontented. That's because Saul was just like Mussolini. He was a tyrant, and anyone who had a business was indebted. Anyone who wanted to be in charge of their own health care was distressed because of mandates, distressed, indebted, and discontented. And Californians are all three. And though they are manipulating the election, though the press is playing in, don't lose sight of the fact that this is how an election goes. Be encouraged. You have had a victory, and there's already a huge victory. There may be another big one, which I really believe will be pulled off.
So Rob, I want to ask about this. Just kind of, you've been hearing from a lot of congregants that constantly are under this barrage of should you leave or should you fight for the place that you're in. Rob, you've made the decision to fight for California, and you know Mussolini comes out rather preemptively and tries to declare victory while there's still massive amounts of votes still to be counted. Talk about why you decided to actually fight for your state and not just go to what people would call greener pastures in other states.
Yeah, my family's three generations Californian. I love this state. You can be surfing in the morning. You can be snow skiing that same afternoon in the mountains, and you can be riding a dirt bike in the desert at sunset. This is the most remarkable place in all the world. And as Congressman McClintock said, there's only one thing that can cause people to leave the beauty of California for the deserts of Nevada and the wastelands of Texas, and that's bad government. And we have put up with a lot. And we love California, and it was the Golden State. We're the ones who created the California Aqueduct that brings water from the Sierras into the most fertile fruit basket on the planet, where we produce more cotton than the entire South combined. This is the Golden State, and now they have turned it into a socialist state. Production's down. The cost of gasoline is through the roof. We have the highest gas tax, sales tax, income tax, corporate tax. We lead the nation in every miserable social barometer. We lead the nation in homelessness and in poverty. We have the worst schools, and they have the highest debt, and we have the highest taxes. Bad government. And if your answer to that is to move out, you're taking your apathy to another state that's going to be poisoned with the cancer of your unwillingness to be a citizen in a republic that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. For those of us who remain, we know what it's going to take. We've already seen the folks leave. Those of us who are left will do whatever's necessary to win this state back. They're going to change the rules on us. They're going to move the goalposts just like they did in the COVID mess, where they had the six boxes and the color tiers and the 15 days to flatten the curve. And now it's 100 employees or less in your business to be a mandated vaccine. We're not doing it anymore. And everyone is coming together with this. And this is left, right, and in the middle. They're losing the narrative, and they're way out over their skis. And the idea is you continue to hold your ground and you don't quit and you mobilize people to participate and to fight back. You don't quit.
I totally agree, Rob. And one of the things that is so important, and I think what this recall establishes, is you've had essentially single-party rule in California, and we see all the nasty fruit that comes off of that. Corruption, runaway policy agendas that are basically shouted by 10% of the minority, but yet everybody in the party goes along with it. So just getting this acceleration to radical leftist politics. What this does is it establishes a baseline that says we still have a voice, we still have a backbone. And as a matter of fact, there's something that was said on a podcast that Charlie actually did. It was with Chris Bedford.
Yes.
Where he said, you know what? And he was talking about America. He said, conservatives only just started fighting. We've had 50 to 60 years of thinking that we were fighting. That's not to say there wasn't real fights. It wasn't to say that there wasn't blood, sweat, and tears out on the battlefield. But truly, I really believe this. Something about the Trump era, the scales have been removed, and we are now starting to fight. I would say that happened at the national level. We're seeing that in California, and it's the establishment of a true pushback. It's not quite two-party rule. I understand that, but it has to start somewhere. And I believe in my gut that this is what this represents. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I was at a party in Topanga Canyon. It wasn't a party. It was a reception. And here you're talking about a right-wing, evangelical, fundamentalist, Republican pastor. And I'm at a party with Bobby Kennedy Jr., lifelong Democrat, liberal left-leaning. And the two of us are knitted in our defense of liberty. And we realize the tyranny that we're under and how Big Pharma has destroyed our state and destroyed our nation. And I'm looking and it's an eclectic crowd that's gathered. And it almost looks like the bar scene out of Star Wars. And yet it's all of those, again, who are distressed, indebted, and discontented. We are unifying as citizens, wanting to have the ability of those inalienable rights that were given to us that we're not going to compromise on. It's going to cost us. We're going to have to fight. But speech is critical, and they've censored us. The governor violated the First Amendment when he declared the church to be non-essential. Abortion clinics were essential while they were harvesting the parts of the children and then flushing the remainder into the sewer systems of our state. But a church is not essential. At Costco, somehow, the virus doesn't affect, but every mom and pop business, it does. And then they say it's science, and he does a curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. as though the virus somehow knows that it wakes up at 10 p.m. And that's supposedly science, while he goes out, as Benny so wonderfully pointed out, to the French Laundry, where the appetizers that each cost more than the average welfare check of those that the government promised to give. So There is a unifying across the board of dissatisfied citizens in California, and this elite group is going to isolate themselves just like Nancy Pelosi did with the wall around the Capitol. We start to see how stupid it is, and this isn't the Hunger Games. We're ready to take back our state.
Well, and this is a good reminder to everybody watching, Rob, that if, as all the media outlets have called, that this goes Gavin Newsom's way, he has to face election again in November of 2022. So if this holds, and, you know, listen, again, we're gonna wait till the fat lady sings, and we're gonna wait till day of ballots get counted. If this holds, though, he's got a little over 1 year before he has to do this all over again. So he spent a lot of money, he spent a lot of capital. Now the media is gonna try and spin this as Gavin Newsom emerges victorious, strengthened, and poised to make a national run. But what this really means is that he's been, in my opinion, he's been vastly weakened. But, you know, what do you think your take on that is going to be? Do you think he's been weakened? Do you think he's been strengthened if these hold?
Nationally, yeah, he'll have been weakened, but just like any tyrant does, he's going to come after his opponents, and he's going to be
emboldened.
He's going to be emboldened, and he's going to come after us, and I'm expecting it. He wants to vanquish any of his adversaries, just like they do in any banana republic.
Yeah.
And he's going to come after anyone who spoke out, and he's going to make our lives a living hell. And my feeling is to Gavin Newsom, do it. Do it. Nothing is more valuable to me than liberty. And I will stand my ground regardless of what you do or how corrupt you become. I will fight you every step of the way. I will proclaim liberty. I will stand upon it because liberty is God's idea, not man's idea. And as a minister, that is my calling. And the greatest joy for me, the greatest joy and the biggest victory. And Charlie, Turning Point Faith, all you folks there, you get all the credit as far as I'm concerned. We're watching pastors across this state activated in the ecclesia, the public square, because of the efforts of Turning Point. And that's never before happened. It's an awakening theologically that we are the ones that have to contend for our neighbors whose freedom is being usurped and taken. And we're having to do more than just truncate the gospel and make it simplistic by raising your hand and collecting a tithe. We actually have to contend in the public square for the freedom of our neighbors and to proclaim that liberty from the scriptures and to defy a tyrant, which is in conjunction with Romans 13. When he doesn't do good, he no longer has the authority to be an authority. And in a constitutional republic, it declares that it's our right and our duty. And Charlie, seriously, all of these pastors you listed and many more that you haven't, because there's not enough time, every one of them had a prayer service. Every one of them has activated. These are all folks who've been activated who never before yes. were.
Well,
and they're fired up.
And I just want to say, Rob, you've been on the leader. And we at Turning Point Action in Austin, we did that event at a church. And, you know, that was really kind of the leader of this entire recall
the last
push.
Firewall.
Yeah, it really is. I just want to say, you guys can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, as we go county by county. It's looking like this is going to be a long one, right? Stay right there, Rob, as we go through this. Going to be kind of pouring in, kind of just dribbling in, just kind of piece by piece here. Austin, what are we looking at here?
Well, look, guys, we obviously knew this was going to be a long, drawn-out process. The Democrats voted in person. Republicans did not. This could be days of counting Republican votes. Days. There's four battleground counties. Orange County, Fresno County, San Bernardino County, Riverside County. Those counties right there are going to be the bellwethers for winning this whole thing. Very, I think, premature for Gavin to call it that early. But you got to look at it this way. He's going to go up for re-election again in 2022. They spent a lot of money coming in this way. They were very skeptical to bring in the president of the United States, the vice president of the United States,
yes.
the speaker of the House to be from that state. She probably had to pour in a lot of money, try to transfer a lot of money from the the DNCC.
Whatever that is.
Whatever the heck it is.
Oh, yeah.
The George Soros slush fund, whatever they want to call it, going over to the Democrats in California. This is good momentum. It's going to be a long couple days of counting votes. The conservative movement as a whole is in a very good position. For us to go in 2018 to win some counties in California, or win seats for congressional races in California, to win them again in 2020, flip some of them, hold some of them again, is a very good indicator. The House is obviously going to run through California. These precincts in Southern California are going to be extremely critical. And you can't, you know, just go away from the rural counties. Turning out every Republican as humanly possible is going to win these elections. We're getting to a place now in our politics where it's not going to always depend on what we do after the primary to get some of these independent voters. If you don't turn out your Republican voters in your general election or in your recall election, pack it in, you're done and you're over with. Democrats have politicized and hyper-partisaned everything in this country, that if we don't turn out
yes.
as many Republicans as humanly possible to win these elections, we're not going to do it. So, as the way it's looking, there's still a lot of votes that need to be counted. If only 4 million of those mail-ins went for Democrats, and they're getting to a point somewhere, I'm going to look to see where the numbers are, if they've gotten close to counting all those 4 million mail-in ballots. There's still a lot of Republicans that filled in those mail-in ballots, dropped them off on election day or mailed them in on the election day. We're going to have a few days of just counting ballots. So.
Amen. Email us your thoughts, everybody, freedom@charliekirk.com. And I'm just going through this county by county. It's going to be a long one. Rob, in closing here, you're saying this is not over. Just kind of reiterate those thoughts for as it is 12:40 Eastern for our friends in Maine and Boston and Georgia. We've done
the swamp.
Remember
DC.
When we did the live stream last time? We went, I think, to 3 o'clock Eastern easily. Right,
we went hard in the paint. We went hard in the paint.
Yeah, we are known for our long factual live stream going through all of these. You guys know you could always count us. And if we're looking at it right now, and Rob, you're going to have to prove me wrong. Newsom is declaring victory. He might squeak it out. This thing's going to be really close. But you're optimistic. State the case, Rob.
Well, I'm going to say it's like Fox News calling Arizona. They had to set the narrative so that they could justify what we're now seeing in the as they're looking at the election results and they're doing the auditing. They had to early call that state, and you knew early on it wasn't a close and shut case. That's how it is right now. Now, granted, that the numbers are heavy in favor of him, but as we're looking at the counties underperforming and seeing the lines and noting that the people who are voting now are the ones that totally distrust this election system in California, that is promising. Don't dismiss that. I really think this is a Dewey Truman kind of headline. And
remind people what that was, Rob. We know what it is. Remind people Dewey Truman.
Yeah, so the headline came out in the paper that Dewey defeats Truman. And I don't know if any of you've ever heard of President Dewey, but I've heard of President Truman. He ended up winning, and it was called prematurely. Now, granted, that was back in the day when they didn't have as much, but this is really premature because, you know, they know how these elections work. They know that they're underperforming. And they have got to set the narrative. And this is similar to election night during the presidential election of Fox News calling Arizona. And they should never have done that. It was too close to call, but they called it. Now you say, well, they won Arizona. Yeah, now what they were looking at the audit. No, I don't think they did. Mm-hmm. So stay the course, folks. Keep fighting. Don't give up.
I love it. Rob, Calvary Chapel, Thousand Oaks, California, an American hero. And you guys can listen to our conversations with Rob in depth. You know where to find it. Charlie Kirk Show podcast.
Turning Point Faith, too.
Part of Turning Point Faith, tpusa.com/faith. He's the co-chairman of that. As we are waiting for this drop to come in, I have a feeling they're not going to drop this anytime soon, right? It looks like they're going to try to run out the clock, kind of sneak it in. And as this thing gets closer, they just want to move on. Then they say, oh, that's already over. We declared victory. Forget it. We moved on. Closing thoughts, Andrew, as it's becoming more clear that as we approach 1 o'clock Eastern, they're not going to drop this anytime
no.
soon.
So the way I see this playing out is they're going to say, look at this as a refutation of Trump and Trumpism, not anything of the sort, folks. Now, again, we're not calling it. We're waiting. We want to see all the results.
And there's some Republican strongholds that have not even 50%
reported. And again, we don't even have the red wave from day of voting that has come in, okay? So regardless, even groups like Trafalgar Group had remove +8, okay? Mm-hmm. And Trafalgar was very accurate.
Bullish.
They were very accurate during 2020, though. One of the most accurate groups. Here's the thing that I will tell you is some of the polling that's coming out from very liberal polling groups like Quinnipiac have Biden underwater by 6 points. Now, again, this is Rasmussen has him underwater by 8 points. What they want to do is they want to move on and they want to change the narrative. And they think that this is going to be an example of that. And I can guarantee you that's going to be what the op-eds written by the liberal intelligentsia are saying. No. They're going to completely overlook the fact that this happened in the first place. They're going to completely overlook the fact that Biden is a walking disaster and everybody knows it. And his polling is dragging down the entire party. One of the reasons they were so nervous about this recall in California was precisely because Biden is bringing down the entire party and there's no enthusiasm. So I would say, listen, stick to the facts. Understand that this was The fact this even happened was a miracle. The fact that we got this far was a miracle. Our friend Larry Elder deserves a lot of praise
credit.
And credit for diving into this race and really energizing it. And frankly, he had him terrified, which should tell you a lot.
So, Austin?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Andrew kind of hit the nail on the head there, is that this was a really good indicator of where the country is going, where we are as a conservative movement going. Larry Elder deserves a lot of credit. A lot of the grassroots people, the outside groups that are there on the ground in California and have been for months now doing the work necessary to initiate this, the moms and dads from the school boards tired of their children being masked up and forced to sit in front of a computer for 9 to 10 hours a day to learn. Hats off to them. Hats off to the pastors that initiated this, that didn't shut down their churches, that didn't shut down their places of worship, that said, we're going to take a stand about this. We're actually going to stand up for what this country is all about. Hats off to them. And it's going to be days of counting these votes. Keep the faith. Continue to do what we do as always as conservatives, is that we don't give in. We play offense. President Trump kind of initiated that with us. We need to continue to do this all over the country. If we're going to recall a governor in the most blue Democrat state in the country, let's go after these purple places
and now. What are we doing at tpaction.com?
So
precinct committee positions,
Turning Point Action, we're recruiting
the website
thousands.
Is what?
tpaction.com/PC. If you don't know what a precinct committee man is, it's the official representation of the Republican Party in your neighborhood. A lot of people, they don't know what to do after, you know, Donald Trump left office. Like, well, what do we do after this? Then you get involved in your local Republican Party. You start to take it over. The party is less like you without you in it. If you want to have an America First Republican Party, you have to be involved. You have to give at least 1 hour, 2 hours a week, 1-2 hours a month to your local Republican Party. A lot of people think that, you know, give you a place, an example like here in Arizona, John McCain, you know why he was a senator for decades? Because the Republican Party at that time had no conservatives in it. It had no people that were willing to go against the grain and do the work that is necessary. If you really love and you're really passionate about election integrity, you've got to be a precinct committeeman. It's different. Nomenclature across the country. In California, it's precinct delegate or precinct chairs. Go to tpaction.com/PC. Click on California. Give us your information. We'll get you set up. We're here to save this country. We're here to make the Republican Party America First Republican Party through Turning Point Action. And we're in for the long haul. We're taking the over on America.
Based on what I'm seeing, if we keep this up with the grassroots focus and the conservative base, from Turning Point Action standpoint and from a Republican standpoint, the Republicans are going to take back the House in 2022. These numbers are super tight. Even if Gavin escapes with 3 or 4 points, like he'll say he's the winner, he's actually the loser.
7 points.
Right?
Even 8 points.
Biden won California by 30 points, everybody. The fact this is even close,
6 million
is remarkable. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, so remember, this was a long shot to begin with. But the fact that, to Charlie's point, when all is said and done, you count the ballots, and if he wins this thing with 8 to 10 points, I'm not kidding. It could be that wide. This is a massive slide. So again, I'm telling you, my profession is media. It's working with reporters. That's my background. I will tell you that they are going to try and spin this in a way that says, oh, from strength to strength, bigger and better, national optimism for Gavin Newsom's future. That's all crap. The truth is, this is going to be a lot tighter than 2020. It shows an absolute lack of faith in this man, and it's a refutation of the Democrat policy.
I also want to clarify something. I don't know if Rob McCoy called Texas a wasteland. I didn't hear that. I might have been up. I don't think Texas is a wasteland. I think Texas is a wonderful place.
Well, the wastelands of Texas is what he said, I think, now that I remember it. I think he's thinking of,
Producer
oil
Connor
rigs
probably
or something.
Didn't appreciate that.
I love Texas. I have nothing but wonderful
Connor's
things to
from
say.
Houston.
I have wonderful things to say about
Big
Texas.
Big oil man.
I think Texas is great.
Big oil man.
And if you guys are inspired and you want to support this program and our live streams and our 2 podcasts a day, 3 hours of radio today, give you an idea. Here's where our schedule was today. We did 3 hours of radio today. We interviewed Laura Ingraham. We did all sorts of other things. I did an hour and a half debate night, which will soon air on the Charlie Kirk Show, where I debated a leftist. We'll also air on TPUSA Live. Really nice guy, Dr. Rashad Ritchie, about all sorts of different things, race in America and vaccines and all that. You guys want to see it? Charlie Kirk Show podcast, free of charge here on your app, on your podcast app. Just pull up that app, Charlie Kirk Show. It really blesses us. It's free of charge on your phones. In closing, everybody, this is going to, we do have to sleep at some point. I know it's rare, but the fact it's as close as this is,
The fact that Democrats had to spend $75 to $100 million is remarkable.
And bringing the big guns to the president and the vice president. The vice president is from California.
Look, and we knew this whole, and we've always managed people's expectations with this. I'm not saying it's over. I'm going to say it's hard. It's unlikely.
Yeah.
Right? And, but I'm telling you right now, there's still a shot. The numbers are there. We're going to wait for that big red wave. So if you guys want to see that as it happens, Charlie Kirk Show podcast, Andrew.
I want to say one final thing.
I get one after you.
Yeah. One final thing for me here. One of the outcomes that could end up being a massive, massive key to future victories, one of the outcomes that could come out of tonight is pay attention. Pay attention to any allegations of voter fraud. Pay attention to any shenanigans. There is a possibility. Anytime there's something this big and this statewide, and we're already seeing, you know, images on social media that, you know, we could pull up if we wanted to, clip 13, if you guys want to do that for the stream here, of the ballot, the see-through ballot on the light. We're seeing stuff like this reported, okay? Now, if this, keep a lookout, because this could be the thread that unravels the whole sweater. Mm-hmm. You never know. So we don't know how all the pieces end up working themselves out. We don't know where all the little clues end up, the breadcrumbs end up leading. So it's just a thought that I've had just as we've been talking
and,
about.
And Rob said, this. I didn't say it. I quoted McClintock.
Okay, McClintock.
John Wayne.
John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Listen, he can quote McClintock any day he wants.
Yes. So he wasn't saying Texas is a wasteland. So here we are, just clarifying the record. Again, if you guys want to get behind our team, our production team is going to be up till probably 1 o'clock Arizona time, which is 4 o'clock Eastern, editing this episode, getting ready for the show. We basically have a 24-hour operation here that is giving you guys the news you guys want, you guys need. We are on top of the case. And if you guys want the update tomorrow at 12 Eastern, okay, you can mark it right now. What?
I got that ballot image ready. Can you guys put it up there? There it is.
Okay.
So this is some of the things that we're seeing circulating on social media. I think it's just worth showing it to the audience.
I was trying not to focus on that, but I'm glad you are, because I didn't want to demoralize
people. Yeah, listen.
We've been getting thousands of messages like this. I was registered. I couldn't vote. You know.
They counted my vote already.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So this kind of, I'm going to call it what it is. This kind of crap has to stop. It starts with PCs. It starts with getting involved at your local level. It starts with keeping a lookout, keeping observant of what's going on around you at your local level. And like I said, this is just the start of people actually beginning to fight back.
And also, I want to say, Jack Hibbs was supposed to join us. He was with Larry Elder at a very loud event, so that was not able to happen. And so if you guys are interested in finding out the update, then just set an alarm, 12 o'clock Eastern tomorrow on this YouTube and this Rumble page. And our podcast feed will be covering, we'll kind of complete the circle.
Yeah, 9 a.m.
Right?
Pacific, 9 a.m.
So
California
literally in
time.
A couple hours, I got to get up in a couple hours anyway to go do some other things, because we have a day job here running Turning Point USA. In addition to everything else, managing 200 plus people and raising money and
fighting OSHA.
Well, not yet. Okay. We hope.
Signing up PCs at Turning Point Action.
Yeah, lining up PC committee people at Turning Point Action, keeping the lights on, all sorts of fun things. But we're able to do that thanks to our incredible team. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. 12 o'clock Eastern tomorrow morning, or 9 o'clock LA time. We're going to open with this, complete the circle, talk about trends. I think we're going to get a late night dump in that kind of there.
Yeah,
so I just want to thank.
Gotta stay awake.
We'll see how the margins close.
I want to say thank you to Juan for supporting us. I want to thank Taylor for your generous support. CharlieKirk.com/support. I want to thank Johnny from Maryland for your support. I want to thank Laureen for your support. I want to thank Julie for your support. And I want to thank Jake for your support. CharlieKirk.com/support. It really does help us get to the next level. We're going to keep our eyes on this. As always, everybody, do not give hope. Do not give up hope. Jeez, it's been a long month today. It started as a long week today. Ended
long
as a
week,
long month
long
today.
Month.
Based on what I'm seeing, we're going to take back the House and take back the Senate. You guys know you can count on this show to always tell you the truth and go a level deeper. Subscribe to that Charlie Kirk Show podcast on your phone. God bless America. Talk to you guys at 12 Eastern tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you have listened all the way through to the end of this episode, God bless you. And I just want to say, if you have indeed, you can email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Just email me, California Newsom Recall. Subject line, I'm going to give away a couple books, because if you listen to this whole live stream podcast, you're a true listener of the Charlie Kirk Show. God bless you guys. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.